Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Monday, February 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia's new police commissioner starts today. She's tasked with turning around a police department that's seen allegations of sexual assault and discrimination in a city that's struggling with gun violence. Danielle Outlaw says that she's up for the challenge. The 44-year-old is the first African-American woman to be named to the post. She most recently served as police chief in Portland, Oregon. Before that, she rose through the ranks of the Portland Police Department, becoming deputy chief and winning a national award for leadership and innovation. In Portland, she created strategies that decreased crime rates. Philadelphia's mayor is hoping that she can do the same in this city. Already this year, we've seen 39 homicides in less than 40 days. The Philadelphia Police Department also faced allegations of racism and gender discrimination, in addition to allegations of sexual assault allegations against fellow officers. Those allegations preceded the sudden resignation of former Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Bross. The police department has also struggled with gaining the trust of the community. This is another mission that Outlaw intends to undertake while looking at internal issues within the department. Outlaw's appointment came after a search that lasted nearly 4 months. The city considered more than 30 candidates. 18 of them were within inside the police department. Investigators in New Jersey say three dogs that went on a rampage through the Little Egg Harbor Township neighborhood were not vaccinated for rabies. Video of the attack shows a man holding off three dogs in the Mystic Islands section. Before the dogs were caught, police say they bit six people. Police say four people were taken to the hospital by ambulance after the attack, and one woman's arm was bitten down to the bone.
Jeez.
Police, the people were terrorized. They didn't do anything at all to provoke these animals, the police chief said. On Friday, police said the dogs were not vaccinated, and they believed that there may be other victims that that were attacked. Anyone who was attacked by the dogs should seek medical attention immediately. Police say the dogs belong to 26-year-old Esau Morales and say these dogs have attacked before. In fact, they were seized in December after police say they bit a woman, but they were returned to Morales after investigators say he misled to a municipal court judge saying that two of the dogs belong to someone else. Police say the dogs are in custody at the Southern Ocean County Animal Shelter and will not be returned to Morales. Police say Morales faces the following violations for animal control: one count of dog declared potentially dangerous, three counts of dogs at large, and three counts of failure to obtain a dog license. West Whiteland Township police are looking for two suspects involved in a retail and car theft. A man from New Jersey says two men used hammers to push him out of his car while he was in a Starbucks drive-thru on Sunday at about 1 p.m. Police say the men who carjacked him were on their radar before the incident. The victim had no idea that while he was waiting in the Starbucks drive-thru, that police say that the two men were dashing across the Exton Mall parking lot at Boscov's with mall employees chasing after them. West Whiteland Township police recovered a Range Rover. They say the pair drove to the mall. Tracing evidence from that, local authorities believe that they are the same men involved in a string of recent retail thefts around the area and in other states in broad daylight. They sped off in the victim's 2010 charcoal gray Subaru Forester. Police pursued it, but they got away. Anyone with information regarding the two men or the incident are asked to contact the West Whiteland Township Police Department. And in sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers beat the Chicago Bulls last night in South Philly, 118-111. Furkan Korkmaz scored more than 30 points for the second straight game with 31. Joel Embiid added 28 points and 12 rebounds, and the Sixers improved to their NBA best home record to 24-2. Korkmaz made 12 of 17 field goals, going 6 of 11 on three-pointers, and stayed hot after scoring a career-high 34 points in Friday's home game over Memphis. The Sixers are at home again tomorrow night as they host one of the top teams in the Western Conference, the LA Clippers. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock, and the Flyers, who had one of their best games of the season with a 7-2 win over the Capitals in Washington on Saturday night, are at home tonight with the game against the Florida Panthers. The Flyers have 30 wins and 67 points and are in the hunt for the final wild card spot in the Eastern Conference, while the Panthers are right behind them in the standings with 29 wins and 64 points. The puck is set to drop in South Philly at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kathy. New week, new you, new stuff to do and give away. We have, let's see, a new word of the week prize, $500 Steven Singer gift card. And the word is that Mr. Singer is stopping by this morning.
That's what we hear.
It's his week.
Yes.
It's Valentine's Day.
He's Cupid.
It's all about love. That's what he does. So he's going to be stopping in today. So we'll say hi to Mr. Singer. Also joining us on the program today, Rob frickin' McElhenney, I swear to God, will be joining us. He actually, he had to cancel twice last week and sent us this really over-the-top apology text to all of us. But he's been crazy busy, and we said, dude, no problem. He's going to come on today. So we'll talk to Rob. He's got a new show, Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, which is now streaming on Apple TV+. So on top of that, we also have another chance for you to win some cash, $500. That is from our friends at the Dr. Oz Show on Fox 29. We'll ask a question after 9:30 about Friday's show. And if you get it right, you win that $500 Amex gift card. Pretty cool.
I don't know what all that's about, but they've been giving us money like crazy. So yeah. It's awesome.
We're going to be doing that all week long, by the way. So we're set to go. Oscars last night, obviously, we're going to be recapping that. We've got the winners and the clips to play back and all that good stuff and business as usual on this Monday morning. So we'll take our break, come back in a second. Stupid question with some giveaways. Make sure you don't stray too far because we will return shortly and hang with you through the course of the morning.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So we're going to do the stupid question this morning and give away a pair of movie tickets from Fandango. So you can go see a flick on us. And I'm going to do a movie question. The Oscars were last night. So here is, and this is a Black History Month question as well, courtesy of our buddy Craig Ligons from the Comic Book Gurus podcast. Morgan Freeman's first Oscar nomination came in 1987 for what film?
Hmm.
Yeah, right? 215-263 WMMR. And I'll be honest, I've never heard of this movie
87.
Before. Yeah, Morgan Freeman's first Oscar nomination. Came in 1987 for what film? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I have a lot of birthdays to go through today on Monday, February 10th while you're calling in. We'll begin with someone who picked up an Oscar last night. Laura Dern's birthday is today. So she's waking up quite happy.
I like it, her.
Yeah, I do too. I've always liked her.
Ding, dirty, ding, 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 dirty, dern.
Dern.
Dern. Ding, dirty, dern, ding, ding, dirty, dern.
That was her nickname in high school.
Absolutely. Ding, dirty, dirty, dern. Yeah. Dirty, dern, yeah.
Ding, dirty, dern, ding, ding, dirty, dern.
We're going to play it later on. She had a nice emotional speech thanking her parents.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe we just touch on the Oscars here and then we play the audio because we have a lot of
audio
later on. So she's 53 today. Roberta Flack. Killing Me Softly with his song.
The first record player I got, Preston, my parents sort of selected albums to get for me in addition to what I had asked for.
Uh-huh.
And Roberta Flack, Killing Me Softly, was one of them.
Wow.
But I kind of like the song.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. Yeah. I think about a boy whenever I think of that song now, where they do that incredibly uncomfortable singing of that song, but she also had The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face.
Which is in the Clint Eastwood movie, Play Misty For Me. Do you remember that movie?
I remember that movie. I don't remember that was in that. Yeah, she's 83 today. Greg Norman, the great white shark, pro golfer, 65 years old.
Biggest choker of all time.
Oh, my God.
Is he?
Yeah.
The Masters. He had like a
six-stroke.
It was a six-stroke lead on that final round and lost the Masters. Yeah, he fell apart.
What did he end up shooting on the final round?
I don't remember.
And 200. No. That's like
that's
what
a super choke, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Casey at the Masters. Yeah. Shot a 200.
And he finishes it up with a 200
par. One of the all-time great Olympians, Mark Spitz.
Yes.
It's his birthday today.
He's doing commercials now for a device that you can check your heart. One of those little things to Amazon where you can put your two fingers on it and get a sort of a heart rhythm check.
He's still got a big beefy mustache?
He still has a mustache.
Okay.
Not as beefy as it was in those days. Yeah. And he was. I remember getting the Wheaties boxes with him on the cover. He was a heartthrob.
Yeah. But he was only, like, really featured in the one Olympics, right? Like
1972. He may have been in another run, but that was when he won, what, 7 gold medals?
Right. And you know what, Casey? He had the mustache. He had a lot of body hair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people did back then. They didn't really shave and, you know, do all that sort of body contouring stuff. But we were talking last week about Serena Williams and how she's the most dominant athlete of all time in any sport. And I was thinking about swimming because you have somebody like Michael Phelps,
right,
who probably has more gold medals than Serena has titles. And, you know, so does that count?
You're talking about water tennis.
Water tennis. Yeah.
Which is the creation of a new sport that I will participate in.
I don't know what his medal count is. But he's way up there. He dominates. Absolutely dominates his sport. He's set. Mark Spitz, by the way, 70 today. George Stephanopoulos, host of ABC's This Week Sunday Morning News show.
It's funny when you see them stand up on the set of GMA and you have a Robin Roberts towering over him. He's a tiny little guy.
He's a tiny little guy.
I saw him wearing wingtips at a beach bar in St. John in the Virgin Islands.
Really? Like,
George, excuse me, could you get the waiter's attention for me? I can't see my hand over the bar.
We're in the Virgin Islands, man.
Yes, I would like a Coke. Can I get a Coke?
You're going crazy with that caffeine, aren't you?
Yeah.
He's 59 today. Robert Wagner.
Oh.
Mr. Hart, Heart to Heart fame, is 90 today, by the way.
This is my boss, Jonathan Hart, a self-made millionaire. He's quite a guy.
Come on, Mrs. H.
This is Mrs. H.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Every night I'm spanking it to the image of her. I stole a picture on a Polaroid while she was shaving her privates.
Oh, my God. I can't.
Am I going on? Did I go on too far with this?
One lady who knows how to take care of herself.
She takes care of herself.
He gets creepy,
She doesn't let herself go, and everything's just right where it should be and so tight.
That was mad.
As they say, we wet.
Max, their handyman.
Right? Yeah, he was handy, all right.
So he is, Robert Wagner is 90 years old today. Elizabeth Banks, we love her. She's not only a great actress, but turned into quite a director as well.
She most recently directed Charlie's Angels, which bombed.
Yep.
And I don't think it was a case that it had been done.
Yeah.
And there was nothing, you know, new to it.
It didn't need to be done.
It didn't need to be done.
Maybe a few more years from now, yeah. But she's 46 today. Emma Roberts, who's doing nicely for herself, niece of Julia Roberts. Movies like Scream Queen. She was Nancy Drew when she was a little bit younger.
She was in American Horror Story 1984, the season just passed, Preston, which is that homage to the slasher movies and the Camp Crystal Lake and all that stuff. And it was so outlandish what happened to her because she's sort of the, you know, the good girl who gets put upon. But the series is just goes so over the top. But she's really good in it.
29 today, and then the last birthday I saw is Chloe Grace Moretz, who's been in a number of things, including Kick-Ass, which is kind of where we first picked up on her.
They've been showing that and the sequel recently,
Yeah.
Super violent.
She is 23 today, Chloe Grace Moretz. All right, we'll see if somebody has an answer to this question. Morgan Freeman's first Oscar nomination came in 1987. What movie was that for? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Mike for the answer. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Morning.
Mike, so what movie was it that Morgan Freeman was had his first Oscar nomination?
It was Street Smart.
Yeah, Street Smart.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Never heard of it.
It's with Christopher Reeve.
You got it right, Mike. Hang on a second. We are going to give you a pair of movie tickets from Fandango. Everybody loves a trip to the movies. Don't get stuck in line for a sold-out show on Valentine's Day. Reserve your seats with Fandango now and feel the love. Head to Fandango.com/get-tickets.
So Morgan Freeman, I believe in it, plays, as I recall, plays like this junkie, you know, and so Christopher Reeve ends up, he's a reporter and kind of goes undercover into the underworld and gets caught up with Morgan Freeman. But the performance was really good.
Yeah, that's where I guess he first came to the Academy's attention.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Speaking of movies, the box office this weekend, barely making it into number one. Actually, no, it didn't barely make it into number one, but it definitely was underwhelming. Birds of Prey brought in $33 million. They were hoping for at least $50 million.
Yeah.
I saw it on Friday night. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that, actually.
I was just trying to, like, kill some time. My kids were at a Valentine's dance, so I kind of was like, all right, well, let me just go kill some time for a couple of hours. The funniest part is I had to leave, so I missed the end of it.
Wait a second.
I watched all of it.
What?
And then I missed the end.
You timed that poorly.
Well, I didn't. I timed it great because I was looking at the start time.
Yeah.
I looked at the running time, and then I was like, okay. And the part that pisses me off the most, Steve, is that I probably could have stayed and watched the end, but I did. I couldn't be late.
How much of the movie did you miss?
I probably missed the last 10 minutes.
All right.
I found out how it ended. You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Now, when they say start time, do you take into effect the 20 minutes of trailers that they play?
I do. Okay. I do.
All right.
But here's the problem. They need to take into account that. They need to tell you how long the trailers are.
It's a bone job.
And yeah. They need to let you know when the actual film starts. I agree. But I've timed it out. It's right at about 20 minutes of trailers
you can
usually
count on. Especially when you're leading up to the summer releases.
Yeah.
And they pack them in there.
Yep. Well, because I saw 1917 yesterday, and I took into account the trailers.
Right.
Because I had to get my kids to their play rehearsal practices. And so I was going to be late, but I'm like, you know what, with the trailers and all that sort of stuff, I should be okay. And
okay.
Guess what? I timed that out perfectly.
All right. Well, glad to hear all that. The question is, do both movies end the same way?
They do not end the same way. Do you want me to tell you how they both end?
What I would like to know is compare Birds of Prey to Suicide Squad. Which did you like better?
I think Suicide Squad was just... It was too fantastic.
Okay.
Birds of Prey was great.
Okay.
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was funny. I had heard a review that said it was just kind of like all over the place, but it works. I agree.
All right. Enough said.
Then you have Bad Boys for Life in second, followed by 1917, Doolittle, Jumanji, The Next Level, The Gentleman, then Gretel and Hansel. Knives Out, still in the top 10 at number 8, followed by Little Women, and the 10th film at the box office was Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, so still hanging in there. So the Oscars were indeed last night. We'll just touch on some of the winners, and we'll go through audio and so forth a little bit later on this morning.
Absolutely.
But Parasite apparently made history, the first non-English language film that won Best Picture at the Oscars. It also won the BAFTA Best Picture Awards, I believe, didn't it?
I think 1917 won Best Picture.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, for the BAFTAs.
And it won the non-English film category. But, there was a big deal last night. It nabbed 4 wins in total, including for director Bong Joon-ho, international feature film and original screenplay.
So Bong Joon-ho, Preston, I don't know if you ever heard of a film called Snowpiercer. So that's his movie.
I didn't see it, but
right.
I'm familiar
really good
with the
Chris
title.
Evans. It's like a sci-fi, this train that runs around the world constantly.
Yeah, and each car
has like almost like the Warriors has their own collection of freaky people in them.
Yeah.
And it's really good. He also did another movie that's sort of like a straight up monster movie called The Host, which is I love both those movies. So it's good to see him get his his award.
What is Parasite about?
It's based on a story. I'll
explain.
Okay, yeah.
So Parasite is not. It's not like a bug or anything, you know, or virus or anything like that. Parasite is this family that infiltrates basically another family. There's a rich family and then a poor family, and then the rich family needs servants and stuff like that.
They hire one person.
Yeah, they hire one person, and then they slowly sort of take over the entire serving staff.
So they fraudulently provide references for the rest of their family to get them in there, and then stuff happens.
Okay.
Not to give it away.
So, let's see. Another 3 films earned 2 honors each. By the way, 1970 nabbed 3 when 1917 did for visual effects, cinematography, and sound mixing. Another 3 films earned 2 honors each. Joker won in the acting category for Joaquin Phoenix and also for original score. I watched that because I had a digital download of it. I watched it right up and it ended right at the beginning of the Oscars.
Oh, no kidding.
So,
you watched finally watched Joker?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Joker?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It stuck with me. It's pretty disturbing.
It's unpleasant.
Yeah.
It is. His performance is amazing. And
it's not your typical, you know, superhero villain film. It's more real world. It's got a lot more feel to that than most of the Marvel and DC things that you've seen, I thought.
I felt when I walked away from the movie Sandlot, that same sort of in the video.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the dog?
Yeah, the fear of that St. Bernard and just in general, the fear of society and Joker.
You. Yeah.
No, it was pretty disturbing, and there really weren't any other character. It mainly was just all about him.
Yeah.
That's it. There was very little character development otherwise. Sony's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won for Brad Pitt in the supporting actor category and for production design. And Ford versus Ferrari won for film editing and sound editing.
Chris Rock had a good line in the opening monologue. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He goes, I had a Ferrari. I had a Ford.
And a Ferrari.
And a Ferrari.
It ain't even close.
No competition.
So real quick, somebody, when they were accepting an award on behalf of that movie, basically said that this is the last picture that 20th Century Fox is ever going to put out.
Under the name, they're dropping the name Fox.
Okay,
so it's going to be called 20th Century from here on out. Yeah. So I guess in that regard, that's probably what they meant. Renee Zellweger claimed Best Actress win for Judy. So huge, huge year for her.
Absolutely. And did you see the movie?
I did not.
She's and I'm a huge Judy Garland fan, and she does. You saw it, right?
I did. I liked it a lot.
She did a great job, and she actually sang, which is sort of a ballsy move because again, you're dealing with a very identifiable voice,
right?
And she did well enough to make it work.
I'm happy for her because she kind of went away, and she
couldn't see where she was going.
I know, but she has she came back with this, and it just. You know, what a way to, like, put your name back out.
Well, yeah, she did as well as you can possibly do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They say that they're going to pair them up for the next Joker movie, Joker and Judy. And it will be...
I like it. Laura Dern earned a win for Netflix's Marriage Story in the Supporting Supporting Actress category. It's also her birthday today. And Taika Waititi claimed the adapted screenplay honor for Searchlight's Jojo Rabbit.
Big night for him.
And Pixar's Toy Story 4 got the animated feature prize, and Paramount's Rocket Man won for original song. So there you are, the 2020 Oscars. And we'll recap with some of the audio a little bit later on. Now, Marissa gave me this thing in the In Memoriam segment. Of course, they always miss a couple.
Yes.
And so... people have pointed this out, so I've got the story on that. They paid tribute to Kobe Bryant. He actually was an Oscar winner.
Yes.
And multiple nominee Kirk Douglas, but social media was quick to point out the notable names that did not make the montage. Surprisingly, they didn't include Luke Perry.
How do they forget?
Really?
Like, how do you forget
people? That's a big one. See, it's a...
He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
He was in one of the nominated films.
Is that okay?
If any names were missed, it's because they did not matter. Thank you so much.
Is that on purpose, or did they actually forget Luke Perry?
They forget. They do it all the time, so... you can't even make the case that he couldn't even fit in Luke Perry because it went on for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, they had Billie Eilish singing,
yesterday
in the background.
How was it, by the way? Because I missed that whole part.
It's in her style, you know, her slow, laconic.
Okay,
sort of,
so it sucks. Yesterday,
all my troubles seem to fall away.
There's not much of a level to her voice. So they also skipped Sid Haig. Now he's a little niche-y, you know, definitely.
Yes.
And Cameron Boyce, says actor who was tragically killed in July at the age of 20.
Well, he wasn't killed. He died in his sleep, essentially, right?
Oh, from
the Descendants.
Descendants.
Yeah. Your daughter liked him, Preston. You remember?
Wait a minute. Which one from? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. That's sad. Absolutely.
Was he all right? So, not to get nitpicky, but
was he in any actual?
Was he ever
films?
In a film?
Right.
I know the Descendants was a movie on.
He was. Yes, he was in some movies.
Grown Ups too, guys.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, there
you go. For which he was nominated.
No, I don't think he was nominated. Also missing was Orson Bean, the film, television, and stage actor, writer, comedian who died in a car accident Friday.
Yeah,
he was 91 years old. So those are the few of them that they missed now.
And Robert Conrad as well, Preston, also died over the weekend.
Yes, but that was, Yeah. They should have put him in there as well. You're right.
Maybe somebody should just come running out on stage. And Robert Conrad and Orson B.
So they did have lengthy online in memoriam section of the Academy's website where Perry, Haig, and Boyce all were featured in those. So
jeez. Can I just hear a little bit of Billie Eilish singing?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Yeah. Yesterday. God, I didn't even hear it, and I was spot on with my impression there.
All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe yesterday.
All right.
Some people actually passed away.
Yeah.
So we'll play back acceptance speeches and the clips. They actually had a little monologue, which they have not done in the past couple of years. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. I have some other entertainment stories to pass along to you. During an interview with Hoda and Jenny on Friday, Oprah Winfrey revealed that her best friend Gayle King wasn't doing well in the aftermath of her controversial interview with Lisa Leslie. During the interview, King had brought up Kobe Bryant's 2003 sexual assault case. When asked how King was doing, Oprah replied, "She's not doing well. She has now death threats and has to now travel with security, and she's feeling very much attacked."
Really?
She said, "You know, Bill Cosby is tweeting from jail. She was put in a really terrible position. Because that interview had already ran, and in the context of the interview, everyone seemed fine, including Lisa Leslie, and it was only because somebody at the network put up that clip, and I can see how people would obviously be very upset if you thought that Gayle was just trying to press to get an answer from Lisa Leslie. Obviously, all things pass, and she'll be okay." Meanwhile, after being warned by Barack Obama's former national security advisor, Susan Rice, to back the F off of Gayle King, Snoop Dogg took to Instagram to address his comments towards Gayle King. Last week, after the clip from Gayle's interview with Lisa Leslie hit social media, Snoop, who was really close with Kobe Bryant, called her a, quote, "funky dog-haired bitch," and said, "respect the family and back off, bitch, before we come get you." Now, Rice responded by tweeting, "This is despicable. Gayle King is one of the most principled, fair, and tough journalists alive. Snoop, back the F off. You come for Gayle King, you come against an army, you will lose, and it won't be pretty."
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now Snoop said about the video, so he made a statement about this. He said, "I'm a nonviolent person."
Yeah.
"When I said what I said, I spoke for the people who felt like Gayle was very disrespectful towards Kobe Bryant and his family. Now, with that being said, what I look like wanting some harm to come to a 70-year-old woman. I was raised way better than that. I don't want no harm to come to her, and I didn't threaten her. All I did say, all I did was say, check it out. You out of pocket, you out of pocket for what you're doing, and we watching you. Have a bit more respect for Vanessa, her babies, and Kobe Bryant's legacy."
Didn't he say they were coming for her?
You did say that.
Yeah, something that's like a threat. That.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a threat.
He's lying. He's saying, like, "We're coming for you. We're going to take you out for some ice cream."
Yeah, you want to go out?
Yeah.
We'll go see 1917?
He added, "We speak from the heart. Some of you that have no heart don't understand
Snoop,
that.
You be lying.
So, yeah.
You exactly. be lying. You be tripping and bugging."
Mm-hmm. So that's the comment on that. Harvey Weinstein, we didn't get a chance to talk about old Harv. His defense team called an experimental cognitive psychologist to the stand. Elizabeth Loftus, the second defense witness, testified about the unreliability of memories. She said it doesn't take a PhD to know that memory fades over time. Stress and fear can also impair memory, she said. She added that medications like Valium can impact memories further. Manhattan Assistant District Attorney Joanne Iluzzi then accused the doctor of customizing her testimony, referencing the testimony of Annabella Sciorra, one of the Weinstein accusers, who testified that Weinstein sent her a care package with Valium, knowing that she was dependent on it for a time in the 1990s. In an interview with the New York Times published Friday, one of Weinstein's lawyers, Donna Rotuno, responded to a question about whether she'd ever been assaulted, saying, I have not, because I would never put myself in that position. I've always made choices from college age on where I never drank too much, never went home with someone I didn't know. I just never put myself in any vulnerable circumstances, never. Now, in court, Lucy complained that they were completely in contradiction of the gag order. Rotuno said, though, that the interview had happened before the trial began. It's winding down, by the way.
Thank God.
Prosecution resting its case Thursday after calling six accusers to the stand. So Weinstein now faces life behind bars if convicted. So I don't know when they start going into deliberations.
I mean, you got to report on it, but it's like a lead weight. You know, it's just horrible.
They are supposed to wrap up their case, Preston, this week. So then it'll go into deliberations after this.
Okay. And then they have a buffet lunch.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, it's sitting be nice, everyone. Thanks so much for participating, everyone. There's rolls by the door.
Pamela Anderson has too much heart for her own good.
That's what I've always thought.
The Baywatch alum turned activist married a Star Is Born producer, John Peters, because she had just returned from a month-long spiritual cleanse in India and her heart was open. But in hindsight, too open, a source tells Page Six.
So if you get a cleanse, sometimes your heart can be so open you'll involuntarily marry people?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. The pair had dated briefly 30 years ago, but the 52-year-old Anderson only spent 3 days with 74-year-old Peters before they bit the bullet and married. Almost immediately, she regretted it, the insider says.
Will you marry me? Okay.
The insider said, Pamela does not operate on the same wavelength as other people.
Now, you know how she reveres the institution of marriage, like the 4 times she married Kid Rock.
This source says she has a huge heart and she loves big, fast, and hard.
She loves big, fast, and hard. That's a hip-hop act.
She's got a huge, gaping heart.
Yeah. Big, hairy heart.
She came back from her trip, and John said to her, I love you, let's get married. So she said, okay.
Who are you?
So what went wrong? Well, she found out that Peters is overbearing and obsessed with fame. The insider said, Pamela felt that he was frustrated over how she wanted to maintain her financial independence. He started to make calls about her career and cast her in a movie he was working on, things she didn't want.
Man, she was supposed to play Eleanor Roosevelt.
They did not finalize their paperwork. So they were able to just walk away. It would have been her 5th marriage, by the way.
She's in her 50s, right?
Yeah, 52. Yeah,
so I'm scrolling through her Instagram account. I can't find any photo that's at all recent. They're all throwback photos.
Yeah, they look like old naked.
Which is fine.
Do you have any pictures from her appearance at the Rite Aid up here on City Line Avenue?
Oh, my God, remember that?
Yes.
What was she pushing?
She has her fragrance.
Yeah.
Her perfume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that called?
I'm selling perfume at Rite Aid was the name of the cologne.
I don't remember.
It was horrible.
Did it have a
like passion fruit or something like that?
Passion fruit?
Something like
gaping
that.
Gaping heart.
I don't know.
The gaping hairy heart.
Nick's looking it up. Pamela Anderson.
Fragrance.
Scent, fragrance, whatever you want to call it. I'm curious.
Check Agent Orange. It's probably under that.
Malibu Day.
It was something like Malibu Day or something like that.
Oh, you're
not,
joking.
Not passion fruit.
Okay. All right. Anyhow, it's, yes, it's Malibu.
Still available at your local Kmart.
I like to smell good.
Yeah.
Malibu Day.
So Jenna Dewan is moving on. Following her divorce from Channing Tatum, she had filed to legally restore her name to Jenna Lee Dewan, excising Tatum's last name because she had, you know, taken that professionally as well.
Yes.
The news comes after Tatum and Dewan officially reached a custody agreement regarding their 6-year-old daughter, Everly. The pair are sharing legal custody. Dewan is currently expecting her second child with Steve Casey. So she is dropping the Tatum part.
So are you DVRing the flirty dancing, Preston?
Oh, my God.
You're very intrigued by the concept.
Yeah, I want to binge it.
Flirty dancing.
I want it all together at the same time. And
imagine if your first date was just a dance and you never actually spoke.
You could have.
You know what that is? That's flirty dancing.
That is what it is. It is flirty dancing. God, that sounds ridiculous. As Steve mentioned earlier, actor Robert Conrad passed away, star of the Wild Wild West.
The Academy issued a statement, Preston, saying that he is inconsequential.
He is inconsequential.
No, yeah, I was a huge Wild Wild West fan.
Oh, man, it was my sister's favorite television show.
So what it basically was, it came about when the James Bond craze started to kick off, and so they made James Bond in the Wild West. He had gadgets. He traveled in his own train with Artemis Gordon, who was the scientist and the guy who did all the disguises. and they were working for President Grant.
Yeah, they were the first Secret Service agents.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was great. I loved it.
Robert Conrad was 84 years old. He was born in Chicago, worked as a milkman while pursuing a career as a local nightclub singer before he moved to Los Angeles in 1958.
And would you like some milk? We have skim in half and half.
And then he got a recurring role on a show called Hawaiian Eye in 1959.
Yeah.
Went on to star as Secret Service agent James T. West in The Wild Wild West, which ran from 1965 to 1969.
He did all his own stunts, mm-hmm. and he wore the tightest pants, legendary. In fact, they make reference to it in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, Al Pacino makes a reference to Robert Conrad's tight pants.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's I loved it, man. They used to have really huge fights.
He starred in other television shows, including The DA, Assignment Vienna, Continental, and my favorite was Baba Black Sheep that he was in.
Let's get these turkeys in the air.
Yeah, they flew these Corsair fighter planes that were awesome. So,
and of course, you have the famous battery. Knock this battery off my shoulder.
Yeah. Was that Rayovac or I don't remember. Or was it Duracell?
Maybe.
Everready? One of those. But anyhow, yeah, you'd put a D-cell battery on his shoulder and say, knock this battery off my shoulder.
Why?
I dare you. Because that was kind of like, it's almost like drawing a line in the sand and saying, step over that line. Okay. I dare you. And it was...
Of Malibu Day.
It was just to show how badass the battery was. Because he was considered a tough guy.
Yeah, he was. And in fact, had a history of getting into fights with... he wasn't like an alcoholic or anything, but he would throw down.
Yeah, yeah. His last appearance was in a 2002 movie called Dead Above Ground. He recorded music under the name Bob Conrad in the 1950s and 1960s.
He was a singer? I thought he was a dancer.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
I cannot imagine Robert Conrad singing.
Listen to this, Steve. I love this quote. And he told People magazine in 1988, there are three cycles in showbiz. He said, they don't know you, then they love you, and then you've been around so long they hate you. He said, and now I'm having to start all over again. So he's saying that he went through that. They have no idea who you are. And then all of a sudden, hey, everybody loves you. And after that, like, shut up already.
It was an interesting sort of in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, when Al Pacino comes into the film to sort of explain to Leo what's happening to
his career,
yeah,
where he stands. It's very accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gives sort of an assessment of where he is in the pecking order now.
Yeah.
And it's a big wake up call.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, that career is very similar. If you stop and think about it, he goes off and does spaghetti westerns. He goes off and does movies like that. That's where Clint Eastwood was.
That's what I thought.
Because Clint Eastwood had done a cowboy series, and he was there. Then he went over and did those Sergio Leone movies. But then, of course, there was a rebirth to his career that was huge. Sure.
A recipient of the Distinguished Service Award in Broadcasting and an inductee of the Stuntman's Hall of Fame. Conrad was a longtime supporter of amateur boxing, the Wounded Warriors Project, Paralyzed Veterans of America, the United States Marine Corps, and the Jimmy Huega Endowment, which provides support to those affected with multiple sclerosis. So,
just never had time for turkeys.
Sad news for him. Also, somebody else passed away. Actor Kevin Conaway.
Ah, yeah. You know him.
Yeah, he was a big-time character actor. He was 77 years old, best known for the 1993 film Gettysburg. Also in 13 Days, he plays General LeMay in that.
He's also in Invincible.
He was in Invincible. He plays his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
If you remember. And Casey, I know you like the movie Funny Farm.
Yeah, I don't actually know it all that well, though.
Oh,
yeah.
He played the mailman.
The mailman.
The crazy mailman. Yeah. Who would just throw the mail out the door when he would drive by. Yeah. His big break came in 1972 when he starred in Slaughterhouse-Five as Roland Weary. Went on to star in a number of films and television series, including his role as Seamus O'Reilly in HBO's Oz. Since news of his death, a number of fans and celebrities have paid tribute to the late actor. He had apparently had a heart attack. So that was sad news. I always liked him.
He's a real jerk in 13 Days. Like he's the guy that's trying to shut down the Kennedys. And He was a great actor. It's too bad.
Did he make the crawl at the Oscars in memoriam?
Maybe it wasn't in time.
You know what? I don't know. Not really.
It's a good lesson if you're an actor. Try to die at least a week out from the Academy Awards.
Exactly.
Have some courtesy.
And then one last thing. Kirk Douglas was laid to rest on Friday after dying at the age of 103. His wife of 65 years, Ann Boydens, led the mourners at the Pierce Brothers Westwood Village Memorial Park and Mortuary in Los Angeles. The three surviving sons, Michael Douglas, Peter, and Joel,
were in attendance, along with Michael's wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, director Steven Spielberg, and his grandson, Cameron Douglas, also joined the crowd of mourners. Yes.
They kept it sort of small, right? Yeah. There was not,
I believe so.
A big show.
I was reading.
How old was his wife? I mean, if they were married for 65 years.
It's a good question.
150?
She was 150 years old.
Yeah.
Nobody has even mentioned
that incredible.
That's how big of a star he was, that his wife was the oldest woman to ever walk the face of the earth, and they haven't even touched that in the news.
She's actually just like vapor.
Wow.
All
right, we're ready for clips, so let's do this. Season 2 of Manifest continues to challenge its actors through the show's dramatic storytelling and character depth. In this clip, Luna Blaze discusses how she mentally prepares when playing her character in the show. Here's the clip.
I take acting classes as much as I possibly can, but I try and just take from personal experience. I'm very fortunate. I've not had sad experiences in my life, but I try and just go with the flow.
You sound insane.
A new episode of Manifest airs tonight, 10 o'clock on NBC.
Imagine being able to say, I haven't had sadness in my life at all. Yeah. So I'm a working actress, so I thought a good thing to do would be to learn how to act.
Like, I honestly, you know, people who are, like, classically trained, I wonder if they hear that and they go, what?
Like, they just want to die as they're bussing tables at Applebee's.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty, and I graduated high school, and I thought, I want to try acting. You know,
I'm on a show called Man Eye Fest. Manifest.
Ah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I have a master's
in
theater and acting and drama from Yale, and I'm making coffee for a living.
For her.
It's like the scene out of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the woman playing the nun.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right, next clip. Here we go.
By the way, that's Charlie Day's mom in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
In that scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
I think so.
Yes.
Miss Yvonne.
Miss Yvonne.
After suffering a heart attack, a successful businessman falls in love with his nurse, a Nigerian immigrant in Bob Hart's Abishola. In this clip, Billy Gardell explains the positive message that this show brings to the audience. Here we go.
It's a good example of kindness and heart and learning and being open-minded to each other and learning about each other and finding that we all want the same things. We want love. We want families. We want jobs. We want good lives for our children. And I think this show provides that message, so we're excited about it.
Bob Hart's Abishola airs tonight at 8:30 on CBS. Yeah, I love Billy Gardell. He's a super nice guy. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment report. So, yeah, we'll run down some of the specifics of the Academy Awards, which were last night. Is there
sunlight?
We have sun?
Yeah!
I find that hard to believe.
There's the tarps like half down.
I know. You know what? Slowly, Steve, you notice the tarps are slowly, coming off our window.
They're rotting off the windows.
We are starting to see the outside world, and that's a beautiful
Unfortunately, it's raining and cloudy out
there. No, there's a sunrise.
There's a sliver of sun over there. Oh, but unfortunately, we do have clouds and rain expected for the day. All right, we're going to take a break. Rob McElhenney will be joining us a little later this morning. Got a chance to win some money and more. We'll be back in a sec. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Fozzy. Dirty Honey.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, I want to do a shout out real quick. I got an email from a gal named Megan, and she said she tells this little story.
All right.
And I'll read this quickly. It says, 6 years ago, I was at the end of my pregnancy with my beautiful daughter and had the worst case of baby brain. I forgot everything that wasn't a part of my routine. I would throw my cell phone away, feed the dog twice, leave my purse in the fridge after grocery shopping, forget the names of my patients, cry over a good hamburger, and a million other little things that I can't remember so many years later. So when I was told on a Thursday in early February that I would be scheduled for a C-section the next Tuesday, I decided to give my brain a break and take off work and then for my maternity leave, which meant breaking my routine and not listening to the radio in the morning.
I was 100% ready for this baby to come, except we hadn't decided on a name. So me and my now ex-husband sat down with a list of 500 names from the Social Security website and narrowed it down to three that we could agree on, then spent the weekend deciding. Finally, we settled on Casey.
Oh!
Casey with a K.
Son of a bitch.
I thought, Casey, that name is so familiar, and for some reason has some good memories, but my baby brain couldn't remember details, so I let it go because it made me so happy. So February 11th comes, and so does my beautiful baby girl. Days home with her, I kind of forgot my routine, and I didn't get up and turn the radio on. But sadly, eventually, maternity leave was over, and it was time to go back to work and back to my routine. I get in the car, turn on Preston and Steve, and I start driving to work. I can't remember what you were talking about at the time, but it was a day that Casey had a lot to say. We know those days. And I cried and laughed my whole way to work because it hit me. That's because of my pregnancy brain, I named my kid after Casey Boy from Preston and Steve. And not because it was a bad thing, but because it finally hit me why that name was so familiar.
How about that, Case?
Hey.
You guys, just not spelled the
I hope
same
she
way.
She doesn't regret it.
It says, you guys have a Casey boy, I have a Casey girl.
I have a Casey girl.
Can I have a shout out for Miss Casey girl for her birthday and for Chris, my brother-in-law, who just welcomed his own beautiful baby girl into the world.
Prestonia.
So, yeah. What a little sweetie.
Yeah.
Love the show. Thank you for all the laughs and helping name my child.
Hey, that's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
I wonder that's if great. We've inspired the names of some kids throughout the Delaware Valley. I'm sure we have, right?
Yeah.
I know pets.
I've definitely heard of Preston being used because they heard the name here. Not necessarily they want to pattern the child to pattern their life after me, but
my name is so exotic.
By the way, that was from Megan Loge.
Loge.
L-O-G-U-E. I assume that's how you pronounce your last name, or maybe it's Logue. I don't know. But anyway, I thought that was a nice email.
That is very cool.
Now, that leads right into this story that I saw. This is the article leads off with the story of a woman named Ayla Kramer, and she's a mother of four. The 28-year-old gave birth to her son, Weston, at Mercy Hospital on January 2nd. She said, Weston was my biggest baby, coming in at 7 pounds.
I'm a baby and there's doo-doo in my diaper.
2 ounces and 20 inches. But for the first time, and I was not familiar with this, Kramer opted to use nitrous oxide during the delivery.
Like Whippets?
Yeah, well, yeah, wow. Or what you use at the dentist's office as well. Laughing gas, as some people call
you
it.
You can do that?
I guess it's starting to happen. She said, I could still feel everything, but it made me focus and get through the portion of I can't do this and just made me focus more on breathing. A patient uses a mask to breathe in the nitrous oxide during a contraction.
Ah.
And once she feels relief, she can remove the mask from her face. It's 50% nitrous oxide and 50% oxygen, meaning it's less potent during labor than it is in the dentist's office. In the dentist's office, they can take you to where you're almost out.
Yeah. Have you ever used it? You've used it, yes?
Oh, I love using it.
Okay, so what's it like when you use it?
It's awesome.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
It's, you
are you laughing?
Pain. No, you don't get, well, I mean, I have gotten giggly before, but it's
you're high.
It's full on as relaxed as you can possibly get. And yeah, you're a little loopy. You know, like you would slur.
I'm on the radio.
Probably slur your words a little bit, and definitely your voice goes down like
does
that
it really
when you breathe that in too.
Yeah. I have a lollipop.
So it's less potent than the dentist's office, but it says that the goal is to relieve the pain, not knock a patient out.
Huh.
But they have seen an increase in requests among patients at some hospitals. I had no idea that was even an option in childbirth.
So at a certain point, I understand that you can't get pain relief when you've gone past a point of no return, right?
You're talking about the epidural?
Epidural, right.
Yeah, there's a point of no return with the epidural, from what I understand.
So would this be an answer to that?
Maybe. But the epidural pretty much it deadens you from the waist down.
I can't imagine this is helping all that much.
I mean, he was saying that this is just for the contractions. Is this? It's not during the actual birthing process, right?
Or well, the contractions during birth, right?
No, there comes a part where it's time to push and contractions are over and it's just time to go. That's the actual delivery part.
I gotcha.
There's labor and then there's delivery. I didn't know this stuff either until we went in there and got it done. But the labor part, like my wife's labor lasted
she's like 12 hours with
Holy
her first
hell.
With Parker. Yeah, it was crazy.
The third one, she just kind of held her nose and went,
and she sneezed.
Shot across the room.
Yeah. That's it, Preston.
It's like when you're trying to get water out of your ear, kind of like that.
Yeah, and the baby comes out. Except you're using the palm of your hand on your vagina.
Yeah.
But the contractions, yeah, they give them to you when that happens to Steve. It's wild because there's a monitor that you can watch where, you know, it's like a graph that shows when these things are about to happen. And you'll see it. And then, boom, she starts breathing heavy, and the pain sets in, and it's like, whoa,
I have
nuts.
A few regrets in my life, I won't go into all of them right now, but one of them certainly is doing nitrous recreationally. Like when you, at a concert in, you know, late teens, early 20s, you would sell balloons off into the Mann Music Center. You could get a balloon for $5, refills for $1, and it was a quick way to get high, and I could feel my brain cells dying as I did it. It was just stupid.
Is there an after effect to it? So,
no.
So you've done it.
No, it's like immediate, and then that's it. And
then
it's over.
Then it's over.
It goes away very quickly.
It disappears. So, Steve, if
like
you're
birth, right? Very quick and no pain.
But if you're drunk, it lingers. You know, or if you're high on marijuana, it's going to stick around for a while. When you're high on nitrous, it's a quick high. It's fun while it lasts, and then it's over. But it just automatically kills brain cells.
Steve, I got headaches from it after. Like, so if you're talking about like lasting effects, you could do it. The high lasts 30 seconds, but then for me personally, I would get like a splitting headache from it, so I had to stop at a certain point. So July 3rd, 2000 was the last time I tried it.
Fish show,
and I did it before the show, and
you could hear it around the parking lot.
You'd
hear the tanks, and then sometimes the cops would show up, and you'd hear people scatter, and the tanks would go into the cars. Loud tanks.
My friend ended up with a tank for free. Because at an Eagles game, it was ridiculous because cops came, somebody threw the tank under a car. My friend saw that happen. He went and grabbed that tank under the car and then brought it to their tailgate. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But here's the one thing. If you are going to do it like that.
Right.
Sit down. Sit down because I've seen
people
so many
people collapse.
I've watched faces go straight into parking blocks. Yeah. Chipped teeth. People getting knocked out. I watched a guy pass out. Onto his back, throw up into his own mouth, essentially.
Yeah.
It was, and his friends left him. His friends left him. Yeah. That was at the man, Nick.
Is it still prevalent at fish shows?
Yeah. You were seeing Paul Anka, right?
I mean, you're older. The band's older. A lot of listeners are of the band are older at this point, so I don't know if people are still doing nitrous at concerts. Still,
it's more Blue Emu at this point.
I guess, yeah.
It's just that it's so loud. You can hear it.
Right.
You know? So.
Interesting.
So apparently that is an option now if you are interested. I'm sorry I got distracted. I saw a text over here. This is completely not about nitrous oxide.
This just in?
Well, no. It says, can I get a shout out to my sister Colleen Conway Grogan of Phoenixville who won an Oscar last night?
What?
Hey.
Is her real name Laura Dern?
Right, exactly. Well, listen, there's a lot of a lot of categories.
Yeah,
so
dirty,
she was
ding, 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 dirty, dirty,
somewhere or another. So Nick is going to look her up and find out why she may have won an Oscar last night. Well, if that's the case, congratulations. Well,
we know some Oscar winners, I assume.
You assume? Well, Michael Giacchino.
Michael Giacchino, of course. Friends. See, I knew it.
Actually, friends with an Oscar. Yeah. All right, sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted by that, but I did.
Learning to skateboard in a war zone if you're a girl.
Oh, that was a short documentary.
And she was a producer on that.
Oh, hey!
So, congratulations, out of Phoenixville.
Yeah.
That's huge. All right, we are going to recap the Oscars with audio clips and all that stuff in just a little while. A lot of celebrating in Hollywood last night, and there was something to celebrate in Steamboat in Colorado. Apparently, Steamboat Fireworks set a new record when it launched the world's largest firework Saturday night.
This is pretty wild.
It is massive.
Yeah.
The shell, 62-inch, 2,797-pound firework.
Whoa.
Casey, it's like the size of a Mini Cooper. It's huge.
All right,
and it went up very far, as you would imagine.
All right, so this thing weighs almost 3,000 pounds.
And they launched it into the sky.
Wow.
Yeah, so it exploded nearly a mile above Steamboat Springs to conclude the night extravaganza on Howlson Hill, the main event of the Steamboat Springs Winter Carnival.
Killed 3,000 people.
Yeah. No, it was it was detonated safely, but it was massive.
I wonder what the impact blast was from that. How far away you could feel that.
Yeah. Tim Borden with Steamboat Spring Fireworks, or Steamboat Fireworks, who served as the project manager, dedicated the successful launch to the city of Steamboat Springs and the local public safety organizations. He said, "We had to work closely with these people to ensure that our firework posed absolutely no danger to people, wildlife, or structures in the area."
President, it's the city formerly known as Steamboat Springs.
So I assume avalanches, they took everything into consideration?
No, there are hundreds of avalanches. Hundreds of avalanches, yeah. Loads of dead birds,
yeah.
And fires sprung up all over the place.
A representative for the Guinness Book of World Records was in attendance to verify the record-breaking explosion.
He was looking the wrong way, though.
And presented Steamboat Fireworks.
Could you imagine?
With an official certification.
I hear it. I heard it. I just don't see it.
Dummy, you're looking the wrong way. Though, so we're looking at, it looked, Preston, it almost looks like the original atomic bomb.
The shell?
Yeah,
it's huge.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, listen, they need to step up the fireworks game. Have you seen, like, the drone stuff that they're doing these days?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
What they can do with the moving images, with the drones that light up in the sky. There's one that I saw that looked like an actual, like a giant walking done with drones. It was amazing.
Like a giant walking?
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, they're doing some really, really crazy, awesome things with drones. And
they do this great thing where they set a whole bunch of seagulls on fire. It's beautiful. Have you seen that, Preston?
No, and they're flying
Doing it? Yeah. They create all these crazy patterns as if they were, like, I don't know, on fire.
They can only do it once.
Yeah.
Like in Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah. You go through a lot of seagulls.
Yeah.
The previous record holder for the world's largest firework was a 2,397-pound ordnance that exploded over the United Arab Emirates on December 31st, 2018. So this beats that.
Yeah.
And the Steamboat's fireworks success comes after a similar attempt in 2019, but that failed. I don't know what failed means.
Yeah, there's a cemetery that can provide all the information.
Okay. Yes.
All the plaques and information is available at a local cemetery.
But it's unbelievable that they can launch something that big, that high, for, you know, just a firework display.
I know.
It's pretty incredible.
So the screen is up here, Preston, of the walking giant.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
I love all that stuff.
Where was that?
I forget. But it's just, I love what they're doing also with the mist effects, with the, you know, like they had the ghost water ship here on the Delaware. Yeah.
Well, they have a really, really cool thing. It's at Hollywood Studios in, what's it called? That Fantasmic or something like that?
No, I think that is it. I think it's Fantasmic. Yeah, I saw that.
It's really, I mean, because it's like mist, light, and fireworks, like all in one. It's really, really cool.
I like that.
Pretty amazing. So the world's largest firework was detonated, and this was at in Steamboat.
What's the most impressive fireworks display you've ever seen?
Most impressive. They're always impressive, man. Like, every one I go to, even the smaller ones, I'm like, that was pretty awesome. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. How about you?
The Macy's.
Yeah.
Over the river in Manhattan.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Love the ballpark one. You know, the Phillies put on a great display every year, and they do it away from the 4th of July usually. So, because Philadelphia will have theirs at the Art Museum, right? And then one over the river? I always
forget. Over the river, if you just, any chance you can get to see those fireworks over the river, and I always go to the Marshall because it's a perfect vantage point, is right there. You're right, Preston. You have to go a long way to put on a sucky fireworks display.
I've seen the Art Museum. I've seen Over the River.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of them down the shore. The best one still to this day that I've ever seen is right in Conshohocken. They do it every year for 4th of July. It's so good. Okay. They do such a great job with it.
I saw Rachel, who the calendar girl Rachel, she's doing radio in, Kansas?
Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
Oh, really?
She quit?
Yeah, she quit.
Oh, good for her. Well, anyway.
Different story for another time. Sorry.
Okay. She put up video footage of their fireworks display on the 4th of July this past year. And it's like, you know, smallish town in Kansas. It was amazing. And I thought better than anything I've ever seen around here. Yeah.
Speaking of big, Bill Gates has ordered the world's first hydrogen-powered super yacht worth an estimated $644 million. Have you seen this thing?
I think it's like 18 feet long. It's got like a little toilet you can pull out from underneath the seat.
Yeah,
right?
You've seen it.
It's got a thing to hold your fishing rod.
No, it is. It's amazing. It features an infinity pool, a helipad, a spa, and a gym. And
that's on the first floor.
It's got this. Steve, it almost looks like in the League of the Extraordinary Gentlemen, the Nautilus. In that.
Oh! I want that.
Isn't that crazy?
It looks like Nemo's
Yeah.
Captain
the Nautilus. Ship.
The Nautilus, yeah.
So the billionaire commissioned the Aqua. It's named Aqua Ship at 370 feet. Luxury vessel completely powered by liquid hydrogen, which it was publicized last year at the Monaco Yacht Show by the Dutch design firm Sinnott.
Yeah, I was there, and we all wept when he introduced this concept.
So it runs on liquid hydrogen.
Yeah, so it's going to be, I think, very environmentally friendly.
Yes.
Or the worst thing for the environment ever.
Speaking about the project last year, the marine designer, Sander Sinnott, said, for the development of Aqua, we took inspiration from the lifestyle of a discerning, forward-looking owner, the fluid versatility of water and cutting-edge technology to combine this in a super yacht with truly innovative features.
Blah, blah, blah.
The boat has 5 decks and space to accommodate 14 guests. 14 guests.
That's 14 guests?
Shut up.
That's more than my house can handle.
But this thing, you could fit 200 people on this thing comfortably, and it says 14 guests.
We're talking Bill Gates' friends comfortably.
But I guess 14 guests, so you get your own staterooms and stuff like that.
14 Preston, so you can still run chariot races.
Oh, by the way, 14 guests and 31 crew members, so it takes twice as many people to run the thing.
So each guest gets,
two crew members?
Two crew members.
Yeah, look at this. It's insane. This infinity pool thing running down the steps on the back of it is just obscenely opulent.
I'm a believer that you can do whatever you want with your money. It's fine. He's earned it. He's a billionaire. But this is ridiculous. This is such a giant waste of money to have $641 million on a boat.
Do you think it would be a little bit more manageable if he got rid of the NASCAR track?
Wait. Well, by the way, just to back him up, though, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation donated $100 million this week to tackle the coronavirus.
Okay. All right.
So they're,
he's very charitable.
You got to give him some of that.
And he actually just pulled that out of his wallet.
Right. Physically, just right out of his wallet.
There you go.
He had $100 million bills.
Here's $100 million. Just put that in over there in that red pot with the guy bringing the bell.
All right, real quick. How much does liquid hydrogen cost per gallon?
I think at my local Sunoco. It's my guess is.
Look at this thing.
It's cheaper. He'd be an idiot to get something more. Well, maybe it's because it's environmental. That's why.
I have no idea.
I'm sure he's really counting pennies.
So the boat has 5 decks, like I said, accommodates 14 guests, 31 crew members, and a further environmentally friendly feature, gel-fueled fire bowls.
Gel-fueled fire bowls.
Allow guests to stay warm outside without having to burn wood or coals.
So wait a second. We're looking at actual footage of this. This is completed.
Yeah, it's done.
Okay. Oh, because usually what you see is an artist rendering. But
it says here he's ordered it.
Steve, this is not footage. This is artist rendering. This is what it's going to look like. That's a computer image.
This looks unbelievably realistic.
Yeah.
But its most cutting-edge feature is tucked away below decks, below the decks, 2 28-ton vacuum-sealed tanks that are cooled to negative 423 degrees Fahrenheit and filled with liquid hydrogen, which powers the ship. The fuel will generate power for the 2 1-megawatt motors and propellers via onboard fuel cells, which combine hydrogen with oxygen to produce electricity.
And the best thing is, it's completely safe.
I was thinking the same thing.
The byproduct is water. So instead of giving off,
and now we turn the key in.
It gives off water. The vessel is unlikely to take to the seas before 2024.
Just turn the key in.
Now, listen to this, though. When this takes to the water, it has the potential of reaching speeds of 17 knots or about 20 miles per hour.
Whoa!
I know.
On the sea for that size, that's pretty good.
Is it?
That's not bad for a yacht, a traveling speed.
I was curious what cruise ships.
How fast does that go?
So my understanding is you get a cruise ship up to around that realm.
Really? I guess so. You know what he's right, Kathy? Have you ever been on a speedboat and you get up around like 40 miles an hour, it feels like you're doing 75, 80 miles an hour on the water. It's hauling ass.
Do a quick check. I may be off the mark, but I believe most cruise ships don't. Okay, so here we go. The average speed of a modern cruise ship roughly 23 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, maximum speeds.
Wow, it feels
34 miles an hour. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the water is definitely.
Yeah.
It feels like you're going a lot faster.
Well, you like to do that thing where you stand on the bow of the ship and spread your arms out and say, I'm king of the world.
I mean.
I've never been on a cruise ship. Never, like, not even on.
Me neither.
I have a couple times.
Yeah, you did the Alaska one, which I would consider, but yeah. it's not in my
wheelhouse. Honestly, Nick, cruise Ohio if you get the chance.
Yeah?
It's
all right.
Awesome.
I don't like cruise ships. I've done several of them, and each time I'm like, well, maybe this time it'll be different.
Preston, if you're, like honestly, it's your best bet if you're looking to get the coronavirus.
Yeah, right? Or the neurovirus. There's one of those going on right now in another cruise ship.
Oh, yay.
But, it's just, listen, you've got to be, and it's not the whole being on the water thing. That's the best part about it.
Yeah.
It's the, I don't know, being stuck in a small stateroom and.
With members of foreigner.
You know what? I felt, though, I only did one cruise, and I did feel like, okay, I did that. I don't really need to do it again. But what I loved about it was. Not stressing about going place to place. So, Nick, I did it in Europe. We went through the Mediterranean, and it was absolutely beautiful. And I didn't have to stress about, like, because I do stress about that, getting on the train, the right train, another flight, this, that. It was, you just got off, you went, you toured, and sometimes we stayed a few days, and then other times you got back on, and you slept on the boat or hung out on the boat while or the ship while it traveled.
Did you guys, and I think this happened over our Christmas break, did you guys see the footage of those two cruise ships colliding?
Yeah.
Near port?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Nobody died or anything like that.
One was turning and they clipped each other.
Yeah. Well, but like when they clipped each other, it's a lot different than two cars clipping each other. I mean,
they didn't sink or anything, did they?
No. But the one tore the other one basically to shreds.
Okay. Those people, though, did get a discount on their stateroom, though.
They did. Mm. But I don't have any interest in taking a cruise. However, the Ritz-Carlton has those cruise yachts now. I don't know how much they cost.
I'm sure they're cheap.
I know.
So anyhow, it can also travel about 3,750 miles, or roughly London to New York, before it needs to refuel.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. The boat would have a diesel backup due to the scarcity of hydrogen refueling stations. Bill Gates, by the way, is a regular super yacht holiday maker who has not previously owned his own vessel, so he's actually buying this one. Typically, he rents yacht for his own use. In the past, he has vacationed off the coast of Sardinia aboard the $330 million yacht Serene, which is owned by the Stoli vodka magnate Yuri Scheffler.
I hate renting my mega yachts because when you get them, they're never cleaned.
No.
They're never what you want. Mm-hmm. The refrigerator is always empty. I hate it.
I do think that if I were to stumble into FU money, a boat would have to be on the list.
But how big of a boat?
A big-ass boat.
Really?
Oh,
You'd go big?
Yeah, for sure.
Would you get like a 300? You know what I'd do, though? I'd get a 315-foot canoe.
Yeah? And you would need 80 people to row it.
Right.
Yeah.
A 315-foot, but with fully to scale, where the bench seats are up like five stories.
Right.
Right? Wouldn't that be cool?
That's so dumb.
Yeah, cool isn't the word I would describe it.
Super huge oars that you can't use.
Oh, my God. The only thing is I wouldn't. So you would mention, Preston, going from London to New York. I don't have any interest in going across the Atlantic Ocean in a boat. I would maybe tour the Caribbean with that.
Yeah, what about a Zeppelin?
Not that either. But I was doing the math. I guess it would take about 6 days at 20 knots or 20 miles per hour or whatever.
Something like that. I don't know.
That's not that bad.
No, I wouldn't want to do that either. You want to go island to island.
Yeah.
That's the way you get down in the Caribbean,
Alaska,
and so on.
Hawaii. Yeah. Places where, obviously, like the Greek islands, places where you're going to benefit from that proximity. Otherwise, to me, that's why a couple times my dad, years and years and years and years ago, won two cruises as a work incentive through his place of business to take a cruise down to Bermuda, which is all well and good. But you want to get to Bermuda quick, right? You want to get there.
You just want to get there.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do?
Are there riverboat cruises in the United States? I know they have them in Europe.
But
riverboat.
I'm talking like down the Mississippi or something like that.
I'm sure there are.
But I think they're more like day trips. Like, I don't know if you're sleeping over on those.
Like, you don't go from, you know, way up north all the way down to New Orleans.
Not like Viking cruises, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not like that, going through Europe and stuff.
I'd love to do that, one of those cruises.
That would be pretty cool.
I mean, because to Kathy's point, you're traveling with your hotel, and everywhere that you're putting in is usually right in the nexus of what you want to see, because all the cities form along the river.
Hey, there's one on the New York's Hudson River Valley. You can do that.
And over there, it's
building. Over there's where the artists play. And up there's some crap. I don't know. That looks like a factory or something. I mean, I don't know everything. I'm not a goddamn Stephen Hawking. But welcome to the New York River's cruise.
Listen, I did that.
You did?
Yeah.
What the hell was that?
I thought you were our cruise guide.
I'm not an air horn guy.
It wasn't a sleepover thing. It was actually a wedding on a cruise ship, and it was awesome.
Yeah, you said the views of the city were amazing.
It was amazing. We did it during, it started during the day, and then it wrapped back around, and we came back through, saw the Statue of Liberty at night.
Ain't that spectacular?
Manhattan skyline at night. It was gorgeous.
Well, when you leave from, we do the river cruises, and we used to do it all the time with the WDRE in New York. You go out around, and the World Trade Center was in existence at this time. And it was an amazing thing to see that part of the city from the water. It was always gorgeous.
Yeah. It was awesome. We left out of Jersey City.
Spectacular.
What's that? We left out of Jersey City.
Oh, okay.
So it was even easier. You didn't have to drive into Manhattan.
I wonder if like a cruise up and down the East Coast of the United States. You know, I mean, you never think about that, but hitting port cities along the way, literally going from New York to Philadelphia to D.C. or something
you
like
could
that.
Take the inland cruises. Yeah. And the inland waterway, I have always heard, is something that's worth doing. But I don't know. You know, if you're going to get to a tropical place, you fly. And unless it's something that really benefits from being seen from the water, don't do it.
It's the use of your time that's the issue for me. It's like, you
know. Look over there, Camden?
Right.
And what's that over there? I don't know. Looks like Delaware or something?
If you're retired and have a few money, I guess any cruise could be interesting.
Delaware something.
Here's what I want to do.
What do you want to do?
One of these times, one of these days, Preston. No, I want to go. I want to get to Wildwood because that's where I go in the summer. I want to get there by going down the Delaware River. And then out in the
land. A 300-foot canoe.
No, I don't want to power it myself.
Casey, I have a friend who has a boat and he docks it somewhere in Jersey, Cape May or something like that. And he's gone to Camden for Buffett shows.
No kidding.
So he'll take it around the point of Cape May and then come up the Delaware Bay and then up the river. And it's, if you're not in a hurry and you have time and a nice boat, it's fun. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, sure. Just getting a different perspective on the trip down the shore. And I would like to go where the Delaware opens up into the ocean.
May I suggest something, cool. Preston?
Yeah.
Get friends with boats.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The better. Because honestly, we had boats throughout, and we by no means did not have 300-foot super mega yachts. We had 17. The largest we had, I think, was 26, 28 feet.
We had an 18-footer.
Right, right. So, but they consume your existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
And my father employed us as his crew.
Yeah.
Whether we wanted to be the crew or not, every weekend was burned up with it. But if you have friends who have the boats, hey.
Yeah, they say the two best days in a boat owner's life is the day you get your boat and the day you sell your boat.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yep.
We used to do band on the boat at MMR. Were you guys here for that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We did the one where the boat never actually left the dock.
Because the internal plumbing was effed up.
Do you remember which band that was?
American Bang? No. Maybe. No. Who did Paralyzer?
Oh, 311?
No.
Finger 11?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was Finger
11. Five Finger 11.
It was an 11 band.
Five Finger 11 Punch.
Five Finger Death 11.
I heard a great...
Sons.
The name of a great cover band was... Lead Dog Hot Zepp... No, Lead Dog Hot Fighters.
Okay.
And it was Led Zeppelin... whatever.
I don't know what... there was a Bon Journey, which is Bon Jovi.
Bon Journey's a good one, yeah.
It was a Bon Jovi Journey cover band. But Preston, earlier you said Haulin' Ass, and I was thinking Haulin' Oats. Like, what kind of cover band could Haulin' Ass be?
Haulin' Ass.
Heavy metal version of Haulin' Oats.
There's cool. Dred Zeppelin, you guys heard.
Yeah. Dred Zeppelin, right? Yeah.
I like heavy metal Haulin' Oats.
Yeah, Haulin' Ass.
Haulin' Ass. I don't know. By the way, Nick pulled this up. There's some river cruises, like you can do Chesapeake Bay cruises.
Woo!
That could be kind of
look over there.
Yes.
Looks like a stick or something.
Kathy, what's the name of that town where your friend got married on the Chesapeake Bay?
Oh, Rock Hall.
Rock Hall, yeah, that's really nice.
Whoa! That's a refrigerator over there.
Just floating.
Just floating. I didn't know those things could float.
All right. Well, anyhow. Bill Gates has ordered
Holy crap, look at that pile of garbage.
The world's first hydrogen-powered super yacht at $644 million, and it is obnoxious how awesome it is.
I don't think you should ever buy something you could lose people in.
Yes.
Right?
That's too much.
I mean, even with my 300-foot canoe, you could always see them.
All right, well, listen, we need to take a break because I've got some bizarre file stories I want to share with you, and also want to make sure we're staying on time because around 9:30-ish,
yeah,
we are going to ask a question about the Dr. Oz show from Friday, give away $500. Also want to mention this is something that we're aiming to do if we can, you know, rally enough people and get the proper stuff set up for this. But we had talked about last week around this same time about people who have never kissed anyone in their life, over 18 years old and have never kissed anyone. And we wanted to, with Valentine's Day looming, have those people come by and have their first kiss ever live on the radio.
We'd set up the perfect environment for it. And we'd be part of putting you out, finally, getting that out of the way.
Yeah.
It's such a hub to get over.
Yeah.
And then you're on to all the good, sweaty, sticky stuff.
It might be exactly what you're looking for. So email Marissa at WMMR.com.
Yeah.
If you can come by on Friday morning and we'll set up some kiss surrogates, or we'll have, it's mainly guys that we have right now, believe it or not. That haven't kissed before.
But the original takers, the people who were calling in, were all women.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I feel like we need, I mean, let's just talk about it off air. Okay. Never mind.
Thank you, Casey.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back in a moment, and we'll get to the bizarre file stories. Make sure you stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020. Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion. Oh,
wow. Disturbed. Show you the
light. Royal Blood. I only lie
when I love you. The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome. I don't practice Santeria. The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing.
Puddle of Mud.
Crowbot.
Dirty Honey. Miss me when I'm
gone. Mongolian Metalheads. The Who.
And Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and the Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
B-File, here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
I just sounded like I was calling an audible, didn't
I? Yeah.
B-File. Here we go. Brought to you this morning by Red Robin. Red Robin is sharing the love in February with 15% of all online orders using promo code ONLINE15. Order today at order.redrobinpa.com. Red Robin, yum. So we'll start with this. A Sandusky area man is temporarily banned from a local library because he was watching porn on a public computer while drinking a beer.
Yeah.
This is in the library.
That's the way to do it.
An officer was approached Tuesday just after 7 p.m. by a library goer who reported a man watching pornographic material on the computer at the West Adams Street branch.
He's having a good time.
Police found Clarence Stoll looking at inappropriate content while drinking a Budweiser. Several empty cans and some that were unopened were also found in a bag under his computer.
Oh, not done yet.
The 40-year-old man initially gave police his brother's identity, but the officer recognized him and threatened to charge him with providing false information if he wasn't honest.
Could you give that to me with the other hand?
He will be charged with trespassing if he returned to the library within the next 60 days. He was cited for having an open container in a public place. We'll stick with some beer on this. Let's listen to this story. Chaos erupted outside a popular Brooklyn brewery Friday night when an apparently annoyed craft beer hater pulled a gun on a long line of people who were waiting to buy the latest designer IPA.
Jesus.
No shots were fired during the squabble outside the other Half Brewing Company, and a suspect was being questioned on Saturday.
Goddamn, yeah!
The gun-slinging skeptic struck around the corner from the brewery, where beer lovers with camp chairs and hand trucks regularly line up overnight to buy limited-run $18 four-packs and collectible cans sold when the door opens Saturday mornings. Now, I, too, with this guy, think that's pretty silly. But I'm not going to go whipping out a gun on people.
Yeah, no. I got
so it was around 9 p.m. when the gunman...
A samurai sword.
And a woman he was with allegedly confronted the long line of hops hipsters. A person there in line said, we were hanging out. The line was going around the block at that point. We were just chatting, not really doing anything. It was a dude and a woman. I think they were drunk. The pair who were staying at an Airbnb began mocking the beer lovers for standing online overnight for the release of 10 beers with names like Bourbon Barrel Aged Bananiversary Imperial Stout and All Six Anniversary Everything Chocolate Peanut Butter Crunchy Imperial Stout. First, the taunts flew. Then some of the camp chairs, the witness said. The belligerent couple disappeared back into the apartment building. Soon afterward, the man came back outside to glare at the line again. He began drinking a can of White Claw hard seltzer, which may have been just another taunt, and just shouted a bunch of crap at the witness had said. So we talked some crap back to him. The guy was telling us that we were a bunch of idiots waiting in line for beer. So I said, oh, what is this, the only Airbnb you could afford? And then he got super pissed and threw a White Claw at us, which was the funniest part of the night.
Beer fight.
A woman online dodged the flying inferior can, then yelled, why are you throwing beers at a girl? That's not cool, man. And then he goes, okay, well, how about I put a Glock in your mouth?
Oh, damn.
And then he just walked inside. Nobody thought he would actually have a gun, but who the hell would bring out a gun over something this stupid? 5 minutes later, the guy came back out in hand. He said it was a Glock 19. At that point, we de-escalated the situation, and he put it away and went inside.
Whoa, bro.
Well, they promptly called the police, and 30 seconds later, he said like 8 cop cars came down. The last of the beer lovers saw the gunman was when cops hauled him out of the apartment building in handcuffs. The folks online confirmed his identity. Cops took him away. He looked average, the guy said. Honestly, he looked just like a regular white guy with a beard, guessing his age was around 30 and that he was from somewhere in the Midwest. A worker at the brewery said on rare occasions a fight may break out in the beer line, but he's never heard of a gun being pulled before on a Friday, before this past Friday.
No, he was serious.
Yeah. City of Vancouver staff says it is investigating whether an event at the Vancouver International Boat Show that features a squirrel water skiing violates municipal bylaws. And yes, Twiggy, the skiing squirrel, is performing for the first time in the Vancouver edition of the show this week in what is described by organizers as an educational life jacket and water safety presentation.
And Twiggy, the water skiing squirrel.
The event, which involves a trained squirrel using miniature water skis to navigate around an indoor pool, came under scrutiny after the City of Toronto announced Friday that Twiggy's performances the week of January 17th broke its own municipal bylaws. Toronto Mayor John Tory said, "People decided years ago in the city government, and I think with the support of the population, that we weren't going to allow animals like squirrels to be taken in by people. They're wild animals." Vancouver municipal staff issued a statement explaining that while the eastern gray squirrel is not considered wildlife and is not prohibited in Vancouver, rodents cannot be used as entertainment.
You can't use a rat for a show?
Businesses are prohibited from using rodents in competitions, exhibitions, performance, or events according to Schedule A, Section 13 of the city's business prohibition bylaw number 5156 said in the statement. Should the operator be found to be in contravention of the bylaws, the city will issue a warning letter.
Well, then they had to cancel the all-possum death of a salesman.
Right? Yeah, and then your rat-juggling act, Steve.
I know. It's so good, too.
You were up to 5 rats, which is, I mean, pretty impressive.
It's pretty amazing.
I love the fact that they're going to this much brouhaha over Twiggy, the water-skiing squirrel.
And Twiggy, the water-skiing squirrel.
It can't be the same Twiggy. What's the life expectancy of a squirrel?
A good question.
Well, I know they kill him after every performance.
Right.
And then they hot glue their paws to the...
The way, they now have a GoPro that they hook up on the line that Twiggy hangs onto while he's skiing. So you get this really up-close shot of him. It's actually pretty freaking funny.
So what is the life expectancy of an average squirrel?
I don't know, but it's not the same one.
There's no way.
Because we've had that clip for 15 years or more.
I doubt, yeah.
Maybe longer.
Know, unless they're like, you know...
One last story. And I love this story. It's a local one out of Haddon Township. A kid put up signs advertising a Chewbacca roar contest. The contenders came in by the hundreds. The voicemails, about 150. The calls themselves, around 500, according to Seamus Tulane. Tulane was the victim. There's no prize in this. It was a prank pulled off by his best friend, Noel Hecht. And he said, Noel said, I printed out 50 flyers that said Chewbacca Roar Contest. They all had his number on it and a $50 award for the best impression.
So people were leaving messages on his phone?
Yeah, Tulane said, for the first week, I was fuming. I was actually plotting revenge with a similar concept. Hecht and Tulane are both freshmen at Haddon Township High School.
That's pretty good, man.
And to pull this off, Hecht put the signs up everywhere from his neighborhood in Collingswood to Audubon, even in the city, including Reading Terminal Market. And Tulane had pleaded with his friend, why, man, why? Hecht's response was, eh, I was bored.
That's good, though.
That's outstanding.
That's a good one.
I love it. So there you go. That's the bizarre file this morning. He's standing before us as we speak, ready for his day in the sun. It happens every year at Valentine's Day. And we're happy to have him here this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steven Singer. Hey!
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having Buddy and I in on
by the
this
way,
love fest.
By the way, so Steven adopted a dog.
I did.
Buddy, and the last time that I went to the shop, I'd say this dog has changed your life. You he are is. Gaga over this guy.
He has rescued me. I did not rescue him. Well, you know how Steve and I both love animals, as we all do, and I strongly recommend rescuing a dog, and his name is Buddy. He's got his own Instagram if you want to check him out, Buddy the Jeweler.
He's a sweetheart. He really is.
He just filmed an episode of The Bachelor where he brings a 24-carat gold red rose in his mouth.
Are you kidding?
The right girl. Oh, yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, listen, he's a popular guy, and he's got a lot of videos, a lot of things coming out.
So when does
and
that...
Buddy is your man in the jewelry business. He is your buddy in the jewelry business. I hate Steven Singer, and this is Buddy Love.
All right, so you got all that out. Now I have to ask the question.
Yes.
When do we see him on The Bachelor?
Soon.
All right.
You could have a crappy pilot, or you could have a buddy with a jewelry store. What would you rather have, jewelry or an airplane flight?
That's right. Yeah. Right? Well, that's very cool.
He's very sweet. He's got these dreamy brown eyes.
He's very.
Women love him.
Yeah.
He's docile.
He is. He's docile. And he does exactly what you tell him. He listens
to
commands very well.
He's
a cute dog.
We got an invitation to go on CNN, and they said, please bring Buddy to go to see us, and he can bring his driver, Steve, with him. So everybody loves Buddy.
He's the Spuds McKenzie of the jewelry world.
Yes,
amazing.
So cute.
Yes, he's very smart.
So, so you've come here with the gold roses, of course.
I've come here with three things to tell you about for all the Preston and Steve fans. One is a little bit of disappointing news.
What's that?
I know what it is.
First of all, because Preston and Steve is our number one station, this is it.
Wow.
How many years is it? 17 years you're here?
51.
How many years?
No.
At MMR, it's been 15.
2005.
15 years. Yeah. Okay. For 15 years, right out of the box, you became number one.
Wow.
And you know how much we love you guys. And we sold out of the 24-carat gold rose gold, which I know you love saying, which is, it's like, it's
you did that on purpose.
I did it on purpose.
You did, you son of a bitch.
I think part of the allure is because it's so sticky, because nobody can say it, and they all hate it, and then they all make fun of the name. But it's also a real pain in the ass to make. It takes twice as long to make as the regular ones. And we've been working on it for almost 2 years, and we ran out. I don't know, 3-4 days ago.
It's a very, very, very my wife loves rose gold.
Right. Well, everybody has rose gold phones and rose gold accessories, and they wear white, yellow, and rose gold together.
So you're
out. We do have the Frozen, which is a 24-carat rose gold rose, but it's in the Frozen, in the white. This is actually, we have Frozen 1, which is yellow gold, and this is Frozen 2. Coincidentally, around the same time the movie came out.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Yes. Complete accident. And we also have...
It's all by accident.
Yes, it was just a complete accident.
Yeah, the Avengers Endgame.
Right. Yes. And for the fans that collect yellow gold, you know, and they want to keep the collection pure, we have this one. We call it a gritty orange color of Philadelphia. But the real name of it, since I don't want to get sued, is... Aren't You Glad? So if you want to collect this, you can get Aren't You Glad. And something that Preston and Steve fans have been asking for many, many years. We have the absolute perfect rose display for all your roses. As I'm knocking them down. And we have them so that it displays the roses perfectly. You can see the whole rose.
Yeah.
And I have them for one rose. up to 12 roses.
Up to 12.
You have a bouquet, and it fits absolutely perfectly, everything the way they align. And it has a little slit on the side so you could put the gold rose scent if you want the smell of fresh roses.
Okay.
Or you could put a little love note that it comes with, and they can display something that says their love.
So it's a cool little stand for those who don't know what he's
It displays about. It as well, too, because it spaces them out. So we have two bouquets. We're working on a third, and my wife loves it. As we've said many times, this becomes a ritual now. This becomes expected. Honestly, I thought this a while ago would just be, this is a cool little tchotchke. It's a flash in a pan. Now it's become inextricable from Valentine's Day. So... Yeah. But this is a new way to display it, which I'm loving because we don't want to just keep
having the vase. It fits perfectly, and it takes up almost no space. It's only about 2.5-3 inches wide.
And it fans them out more.
It fans them, and whether it's 6 roses or 12 roses or 2, whatever it is, it puts them at the perfect angle so you can see the tops and the sides, which people like.
Have you ever seen anything like this in the industry that you've been in for so many years that's been this sort of tchotchke that's caught on as much as these things have?
No.
Yeah.
I am the Steve Jobs of gold roses. You know, we've put these together and we just keep making them better and changing them.
Absolutely.
And now we're going to have, you know, because of popular demand, the rose gold roses in all the colors, you know, that we're going to add, just as we have the yellow gold and the platinum to add to all the colors. But the stands, I have so many people that collect them, and we've been trying to come up with a good stand and a good display for years. And people just use the regular, you know, glass vases. But
let me ask you now, in addition to the roses, I know we have talked about some other things. What do you recommend that, again, time is of the essence here, Friday, Valentine's Day. What do you recommend people drop on in and get?
Well, first off, just let me say this, because we have several guys here in the room and we're all pretty stupid.
Yes.
And as I could tell, from the expressions on their face.
Yeah.
And before Wednesday, you get free shipping.
All right.
You know, we get like 10,000 orders on Thursday. People pay for shipping. I say, what happened? Yeah. What you knew all this time? I believe Valentine's Day this year is going to be February 14th. I think that's what it comes out this
year. Yes. Yeah, it is.
So Friday, why not, before 2 o'clock on Wednesday, order and get free shipping?
Yeah.
Why pay the extra money?
Kathy is all about free shipping. Kathy, would you much prefer a gift that you received knowing that it came vis-a-vis free shipping?
Oh, I actually get annoyed if I know that they pays for shipping.
What are you putting on over there?
This is that the heart circle necklace.
This
that we've
is
been
the ring
about.
Of hearts, ring of hearts. Diamond
just
necklace.
Gave you one?
Yes.
And I brought one for Kathy
and one for
Marissa.
Oh.
And it has 15 diamonds, so it's like saying you were loved 15 times a day. It has an adjustable chain.
Oh, that's
so you can wear it. You can wear it high or low. But I've had so many people say, how can this only be $128? Because it looks like so much more, this beautiful, beautiful necklace. And it just is fantastic.
Well,
it's a little petite circle. And what most girls do, as Kathy's probably going to do, is they stack it. They'll wear 2 or 3 necklaces together at different lengths, like a little bar or a little chain. And it's a great look. And for $128, it says, I love you 15 times a day.
So, you know, and that, again, and by the way, the production, the packaging, everything is done nicely. It's all turnkey, but you just have to make sure you get it done.
That's it. You can order it online with free shipping before Wednesday. Certainly you can come into the store. We'd love to have everybody come in the store. But I was interviewed recently, several months ago, on Bloomberg, and they said, can you describe your store to us?
Right.
And I said, if Tiffany's and Walmart got together and had a baby, that would be Steven Singer Jewelers.
Yeah.
I said, it's the type of thing where you have great packaging, great quality. Real jewelry doesn't have to be expensive.
That's good.
And it looks like, but it's great service and a great value.
Well, hey, I want to sum it up for you. So we got this text that says, hey, please tell Steven Singer that my fiance and I had a wonderful time at his store a couple of weeks ago. We went in the shop around for wedding bands. We were going to make the whole day out of it, and we went to his store first, and we walked out happy with our purchase and can't wait to come back to pick up our ring. So they just went to yours, and then they decided to go nowhere else.
That's
and then
so
it
nice
says, but
hear.
Here it says, and I like to say that Stephanie was such a sweetheart, and we are going to continue coming back because of her. That's what the Steven Singer Jewelers experience is all about, is the people that work
there.
You
ain't kidding.
You got the best.
We have
coolest, nicest people that work
there. And they're
there.
All lifers. I mean, Stephanie's been with me about 10 years. She just got married 2 years ago and just had a baby. She just got back from maternity. And she's gorgeous and sweet as sugar. And, you know, none of our people are on commission. It's we bonus people by how many good reviews they get, how many referrals they get. We just want everybody to be happy. And, I, you know, no bull, we give a lifetime guarantee on all the stuff, and we give a lifetime trade-in. So if you buy a diamond and a year later, 2 years later, you want to trade, you can get exactly what you paid for.
I've done that.
You know what I mean?
I've upgraded,
you,
yeah.
You lose nothing. So we're the only store that I know of in the country that guarantees the diamond, the ring, and the relationship.
What?
It's all true. Right.
It is. It's absolutely true.
It's true. Yeah. So if you're planning to get divorced, I'm the guy to say.
Nice, nice. All right, so out of the rose gold, but you've got these other colors.
We have the frozen rose gold. We have the orange you glad. And then, of course, we have all the other colors. I mean, nobody will be disappointed. We have plenty of colors.
All right. We love everything. We're just looking at their
in Spider-Man fact, is outside the window. You're climbing up.
Tearing down the tarp for you.
Yes.
So Friday we're going to do this. People who have never kissed anybody before in their life, they're going to come by and kiss.
Well, I think we should make it like The Bachelor, where they give them a red rose for
so
the people,
too.
The
right.
people that they like.
Beautiful.
That's the way we do it. Except this rose will last forever.
All right. So free shipping after Wednesday. That's gone.
Right.
Okay. So you got to get on that now.
Today's Monday. So right. Do it now.
Do it now. I hate StevenSinger.com.
Yeah, it's really no shocker. Yeah.
All right. Well, we love you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me in. Thank
Absolutely.
You for being such great spokesman. For our product, and we get more people, like I said, that come in and say a Preston and Steve line or go do something. Like I had 3-4 calls when you were on the air the other day. You messed up something. You said something. No, oh, no. when you said the spot, and everybody's texting me. Oh, your friend Preston just said this. Like, oh, do you
I
pay him
you.
To do
no.
that?
I love you.
I love you. Yeah.
No.
Somebody said, do I pay you to do that? I said, no. He does that all on his own.
Ended up being the lesson question for the day.
Which right.
Was, yeah, from a live commercial.
I love you.
Nice. I texted him back. I said, I feel the need for pizza.
Yeah, to eat pizza. And listen, thanks for bringing Buddy by, too. He's awesome.
Buddy's
go by
awesome.
The store and see Buddy. Buddy was there last time I was there.
That's it. Buddy runs around. All nice. The women love him.
All right. Right.
Thanks,
all right.
guys.
Thank you. Steven
yeah.
Singer, guys.
A sweet mystery of life at last I found you.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. We got to recap some of the Oscar stuff from last night, so stay close. Rob McElhenney's also going to be on the show this morning. We'll be back in a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Ooh. All right, the Oscars were last night. The Academy Awards. We ran through the list of winners. We'll recap some of that in a little bit. We have some audio to play from it.
Always a guarantee of an hour and a half's worth of entertainment in yeah. 3.5 hours.
No, I watch... I've learned now that after the... Although, you know what, last night they did a little bit better job throwing some of the more interesting categories early. They always lead with Best Supporting Actor. They always go, like, we're going to grab you with a biggie.
Yes.
And then I was expecting immediately to go into costume design and things like that. But they did the animated stuff right after that. So they got me that far, and then I went to bed.
Yes! And that's it. I'll be curious to see what the numbers are for this, because they've been fighting an uphill battle. That's why they went... They went, well, that...
Part of the reason.
Part of the reason.
Hostless.
But, again, they... I think people are just awarded out, especially since by this time, this is the ass end. It's the big one, but it's the ass end of an award season.
I personally don't like the monologue part of the Oscars. I never have. It's just like because you can tick everything off the list. Okay, they're going to go after that. They're going to go after that. They're going to go after that. I'd rather just let's get to the awards. Let's get to the awards, and I'm good. But I mean, it was nice to see Steve Martin and Chris Rock last night.
Agreed. No one knew that was going to happen. Yeah. But no one knew that was going to happen.
Just me on a personal level, I'm like, I don't need that.
So when I was, for years, you know, I was a massive fan of the Academy Awards, especially since I'd seen, in almost every case, all the movies and loved the whole pomp, loved the whole deal. You'd have cars, even like when Letterman came out, all that stuff. It was big. But now, but it was also one of just a few award shows. And now it's just one of so many, and it's just too much.
Not that big deal anymore?
Because you stop and think about it, Kathy, like on the red carpet last night, they were pointing to where the original Academy Awards celebration used to take place, which is a luncheon, by the way.
Yeah.
And it was at the Roosevelt Hotel in Los Angeles. It's certainly become something that's gotten away from them, and they don't know what to do with it now.
Yeah. So, Press, speaking of the monologues, you know what I miss is that, like, montage thing that Billy Crystal used to do.
I love that.
That was fun.
It was fun. Cool.
The thing that they did with Janelle Monáe last night, it was
okay.
Cute. It was fine, but, like, you know, this is supposed to be, like, the biggest thing. Well, that you didn't need.
Yeah.
But, like, with all that time and energy, couldn't you do something a little bit better, like the Billy Crystal.
Like, make a sandwich.
I can't believe that the acceptance speeches are only 45 seconds. They're only supposed to be 45 seconds. Like, for this big of a night and this big of an award, I know for us, but, like, for somebody who's getting that big of an award, you have 45 seconds?
Well, here.
Like, you can't even gather your thoughts in 45 seconds.
I'm conflicted on so many different things. If this is what it is, and it's their time to go off and talk about whatever they want to talk about milk or whatever, or I got it. That's okay. I would only watch the show now for this show, so you know what we're talking about. Otherwise, if I had no obligation, I would jump in and out of it, and that's how I'd watch the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it as from beginning to end the way I do now. Now, thank God for the DVR that's helped accelerate, you know, the process. But it's just not entertaining. The one award show I do think can become entertaining now and then is the Grammys.
Yeah. I usually like to watch the red carpet. I didn't get to watch any of it. My daughter had a basketball game last night, and so I missed all of the red carpet.
I
didn't miss much.
No.
The only thing I like about it is I like to see how everybody looks, you know?
They look great.
That's the one where everybody's sort of it's really regal, you know? It's like, I guess, our royalty, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you can see all the fashion still at the at the award show. You see most of them.
So we have some audio clips to play.
We can shotgun right through everything here if you want to. We can whittle it down to just a few minutes here and get it over.
Sure. Absolutely.
I started off with, as you said, the Janelle Monáe thing, which we won't play any audio of that. But it did have, and it was sort of surprised last minute, the Steve Martin and Chris Rock monologue. So we have a collection of some of the jokes from that monologue.
All right, here we go.
So many stars. Oh, my God, there's Brad Pitt. It's like looking in a mirror.
Mahershala Ali's here tonight. Mahershala has two Oscars. You know what that means when the cops pull him over? Nothing.
I love that.
Jeff Bezos is here.
Oh.
Jeff Bezos.
Wow, great actor.
And he's got cash. When he writes a check, the bank bounce. Like, Jeff Bezos is so rich, he got divorced, and he's still the richest man in the world. He saw Marriage Story and thought it was a comedy. Steve, do you have anything you want to add about Mr. Bezos?
No, I like getting my packages on time. And Marty Scorsese is here somewhere. Where is he? Genius. Wow.
Love the first season of The Irishman. Steve, did you see The Joker?
I can't wait to see it. It sounds so funny. I'm laughing already. Joker.
So many great directors nominated this year.
I don't know, Chris. I thought there was something missing from the list this year.
Vaginas?
Yeah.
They played well together. It was nice.
They did, and they were both obviously sort of mocking the classic monologue thing. And then they got, as you said, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I didn't see the, they made a joke about no female directors being nominated, but I didn't see Natalie Portman wore like a cape with all of the female directors' names on it.
Right.
Where were the names written?
I don't know. I just read about it, so I didn't see where they were on her.
Now, all the people who are there, they're the ones voting. So they're sort of criticizing themselves, aren't they?
Right.
So aren't they saying, hey, who are these idiots who aren't voting for these female directors? Oh, it's us.
Were there any blatant omissions as far as female directors are concerned?
Like Little Women got some decent reviews, but it wasn't a smash.
Booksmart was one.
Booksmart, there's one, and that would have been
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia
right?
Wilde, yeah. But still, I don't know, you know. But yeah, I couldn't see where the names were.
I guess
there's a close-up picture.
It looks like maybe it's like the lining of the cape that she had on is line. It looks like it could just be gold, but I think it's names written in gold.
Maybe it's just me and my friends, but I don't feel any buzz about the Oscars anymore. A lot of people would talk about it, get excited about it. There'd be parties, you know, and to me nowadays, it's really something that's dismissed. And Steve, I'm sure it's a lot of it's oversaturation, but I found myself really bored by it.
And Preston, it takes away time. I know that you and I are of a kind. We like to watch the Kardashians.
Of course. What it does for me, Nick, is just make me go, oh, you know what? That one, I should probably see that movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it does for
totally.
Me. You know? I've heard of it, and then if it wins, I'm like, okay, yeah. I should probably see it. You know what I mean?
I love I said it last week in my live reads for E, but I really do like the red carpet better than the actual award show. There were some cool moments on the show last night, but really the red carpet is more fun.
I was saying, stop and think if you take all the cool moments, quote unquote, from the Academy Awards presentation last night.
It's about 20 minutes.
Right. You could make that a half hour episode.
Mm-hmm. I surprisingly saw a lot of the Best Picture nominees, and I still didn't have like a big time vested interest.
Right. Okay. Let's get to the next clip. Brad Pitt won for Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
They told me I only have 45 seconds up here. Which is 45 seconds more than the Senate gave John Bolton this week. Leo, I'll ride on your coattails any day, man.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Fantastic.
Leo DiCaprio.
I'm not one to look back, but this has made me do so. And I think of my folks taking me to the drive-in to see Butch and Sundance and loading up my car and moving out here and all the wonderful people I've met along the way to stand here now. Once upon a time in Hollywood. Ain't that the truth?
He was getting a little... His voice was
getting
a little...
And then he thanked his kids at the end.
Yeah.
He full-on pissed himself. Did you see up on
his
head?
No,
pouring out of his pants.
You know what, Kathy? When he said that last line about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I thought he was done. I'm like, oh, he's got to say something about the kids. He has to. He just recently...
I don't like him. Yeah. Honestly, there's a couple I'm still not a big fan of. The one I tried to strangle on the plane, not too cool on him. Fang or Fong or whatever his name is, I don't like him.
I didn't think his character had that much range in it, though. I mean, and I loved him in that movie. But as far as you know, him winning everything,
well, he even made the point in speeches that that were before this, and there was there was a lot of self deprecation, which was I was getting on board with. The self deprecation was a cool thing. He said, "This is a weird, it's a big stretch for me to play a guy who's." Has issues with his ex-wife, takes his shirt off, and there was a self-mocking thing. I think that's what people were connecting with. But I thought he did a great job in the movie.
All right, here's Zach Gottsagen, and he is from the movie Peanut Butter Falcon. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that was him.
Down syndrome presenter. I missed this, so I want to check this out. Here we go. He and Shia LaBeouf came up together.
Short films allow for new voices to be seen and heard without the constraints of budget or permission.
And if you haven't seen it, come see it.
Bang. Here are the nominees for Best Live Action Short Film.
That's cool that he got up there and did
Shia
that.
Shia was a little impatient.
Just... Do it!
His movie, Honey Boy, is now available on Amazon Prime. So that's basically a movie that's sort of loosely based on his life,
is it
not?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, here is Laura Dern, Best Supporting Actress. She won that last night. Here we go.
And you know, some say, never meet your heroes. But I say, if you're really blessed, you get them as your parents. I share this with my acting heroes, my legends, Diane Ladd and Bruce Dern. I love you. Thank you all for this gift. This is the best birthday present ever. I love you.
She's never won an Oscar before, has she?
I think she has been nominated.
Okay.
It was great because both her parents have won.
Yeah.
I think, yes, absolutely.
Eminem made a surprise appearance last night.
I mean, this is one of those moments where you're saying, what the F is this?
Yeah.
Because if you're talking about trying to keep the broadcast moving, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
this is years ago.
How about a song from this year?
When did that movie come out? Eight Mile?
It's 20 years,
has
right?
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
It was fun.
I dig the song.
I love the song.
It's probably one of the few Eminem songs I like.
And actually, my son was sitting next to me at that point, and he loves that song. Actually, we listen to that song pretty much when I'm driving him to whatever sporting game he's about to play in.
To every one of his rap battles.
I played that song. It's like a pump-up song for us. So I like that. But it was funny because they did a montage of all these songs that are used in movies. And then they showed him pulling up in like whatever old car in the movie 8 Mile.
Right.
And they
sort of a tribute to 8 Mile.
Yeah. And then they stopped. I was like, why didn't they play his song at all? And then they went into his live performance.
So there were a lot of people in the audience kind of going, huh? Okay.
Oh, it was weird?
Yeah, it seemed weird. Yeah.
Okay. Because on paper, it looks cool.
No, it is cool.
I was reading about it.
So. I thought it was cool, but
I was watching it.
And I haven't seen it yet. So that's why I'm curious.
Yeah.
So I think it's because, Steve, when that song was up for best and then won best song, right? In the Oscars. He chose not to perform it at that particular Oscar.
Oh, that's probably it.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. One moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on a sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth. Words won't come out, he's choking how? Everybody's choking now, the clock's run out. Time's up.
Did he throw any language during this?
Yeah, oh yeah, they had to bleep out. Well, they didn't bleep out, they just like mute it.
Okay.
Sounds good.
But it does. What they do is they need to get somebody who actually knows the song so they don't mute out like 10 seconds, which is what they did.
Well, that's like their delay. It's like ours. It is a beat which just comes out as no sound.
Oh, okay.
So that was a big surprise performance. One of the musical performances I watched was Idina Menzel doing Into the Unknown from Frozen 2. And the lead-in with Josh Gad, where he goes, and Idina Menzel's name is pronounced exactly the way it is written.
Yeah.
Was a nice little
Travolta.
They had all the
actresses from various, I guess, who have dubbed the song around the world.
He said how many different languages it's been translated into. So they had all the women that actually sang those parts sing a line in a different language.
Yeah.
And they were all great singers. And it was a pretty cool little moment.
Kath, what's that lady's name? Chrissy Metzger. Did you see her performance?
No.
All right, so she's the bigger woman that's in This Is Us.
Yeah.
So she. wait, what did you say?
Bigger.
I'm trying to be nice.
You could just
ladies.
Say giant.
Yeah,
giant, huge woman.
She's a big lady.
She's got a great. Who the hell knew she could sing?
Yeah. She sings on the show.
She does.
She?
Yeah.
I guess I don't watch
the show. There was one show in particular where she went to go try out for a wedding band and she didn't get it and she was like, "It's because I'm fat, right?" And he's like, "No." And then he grabs another girl who was auditioning and she had like just an amazing voice. And he's like, "You know, go back and practice a little bit more and then maybe you could be up to this level." But I don't know what song she was singing. I don't know what
it's a song from the movie that she was in with a kid. The kid drowns.
Yes.
And he's, I think, technically dead for like 40 minutes,
yeah,
45
it's like a
minutes.
True story, yeah.
It's a true story and then comes back to life.
All right, here is
50 Shades of Dead.
50 Shades of Dead.
Yeah.
Bong Joon, Best Director, acknowledging Martin Scorsese. Here we go.
가장 개인적인 것이 가장 창의적인 것이다. 그 말을 하셨던 분이 누구였냐면 really 책에서 읽은 거였지만 네.
Thank you so much. When I was young and studying cinema, there was a saying that I carved deep into my heart, which is the most personal is the most creative.
That quote was from our great Martin Scorsese. So,
I've seen him accept awards a couple times before, and he can speak English, but in order to really articulate yeah. how he feels, he likes to go through a translator.
He speaks fluent English with a Kensington accent.
Wow.
And that's why I think it's an affront to us as the viewers that he won't do that.
I don't know if you have any audio of this, but my favorite part was Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph.
They did a singing thing. I saw that.
It was really funny. Like, I wasn't expecting. I know that they're both comedians, but I thought it was really, really funny.
Yeah. All right. We do have Joaquin Phoenix, though, best actor, and quotes his brother River.
Yeah,
River in this speech.
He did an extensive thing about being vegan and about cow milk and so on and so forth. But this was the touching part of the speech.
All right.
When he was 17, my brother wrote this lyric. He said, "Run to the rescue with love, and peace will follow." Thank you.
Wow.
He also pressed and copped to being a prick to work with over the years, and changing his tune and being a trying to make a be a better person on set.
No kidding.
He said he knows he was difficult. He knows he was tough to handle, and he wanted to make amends for that and be a better person, which I thought was kind of cool.
Very good. Renee Zellweger won the Best Actress Oscar. She had already racked up a few other awards along the way for Judy Garland.
And, they said this is the award that she should have received for Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh, really?
I saw Judy. I thought she did a phenomenal job. I mean, she's really good. She got up. And you got to see her, though, because it's funny. As Judy, her eyes are open wider.
I believe it, yeah.
And for this, we were seeing a picture of As Judy, she's back to her old Renee-ness, but she was good.
Here we go.
And though Judy Garland did not receive this honor in her time, I am certain that this moment is an extension of the celebration of her legacy that began on our film set. Ms. Garland, you are certainly among the heroes who unite and define us. And this is certainly for you. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
If you see the movie, and I knew about this, because I'm being a big fan of Judy Garland for years, but they show that when she was a young girl, to keep her in line, the movie company basically had someone who was giving her uppers and downers when she's when she's like 10, 11, 12.
So she couldn't sleep without them.
Yeah, so Jesus. she became. Oh, man. They basically made her a junkie.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah, as a kid.
Wow. All right. And then one last. This is when they announced Best Picture for Parasite, and Jane Fonda was doing that. Oh, it's a little 5-minute, 5-second clip. Here we go.
It's quick.
Here we go.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
And that was groundbreaking because no foreign language film had won Best Picture before.
So I remember The Artist was basically silent. Yes, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to think anything close to that, but no, this is the first full foreign language subtitled film to win.
So Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon did not win when it was out in theaters.
What, for Best Picture?
Yeah, no. I remember
it was
liking
nominated.
It, and I was like, well, what's so great about it? And
I wasn't a massive fan. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it didn't blow me away.
I liked Parasite. I thought it was very unique.
Yeah.
And but I saw 1917 yesterday, and that movie was riveting.
Okay.
I thought the guy won for best cinematographer. I was talking to Nick Murphy about that. Apparently, that guy, I don't know what his name is like world renowned. He's like the best,
the bestest.
I think he's the bestest.
It says right there, bestest cinematographer guy.
But the way that it was shot, I just thought it was a masterpiece. I thought directorially, it was just amazing, and it seemed like it was all one take, right? And I know that there's a couple of tricks that they used in order, obviously, not puppets, but as far as some transitions were concerned. But I was totally engaged the entire time. And so I'm a little bit bummed that that didn't win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A couple of the other awards that weren't mentioned. So original song was from Rocket Man, I'm Gonna Love Me Again. Animated short film was Hair Love. Live action short film, The Neighbor's Window. You know, some stuff you've never heard of unless you're a total cinephile.
A lot of these, those, the short films will go on to be made into feature length full films. Mm. Like, you know, this is their first run at it.
Jojo Rabbit won the adapted screenplay. And let's see, sound editing, and then you have the technical awards and so on. But production design was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I loved the production design on that. Steve and I were just digging on all the old retro stuff they had.
Well, the fact that they had entire, I mean, they literally took like four blocks, I think, of the Sunset Strip and basically retrofitted it. So, I mean, it wasn't a computer rendering of what it looked like, and they were simply driving through. Right. They redid the entire area. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go. They're done. Oscars are over. In fact, the award ceremony, the award season is over.
And
now.
So boring. Thank God. And arduous. And we yeah. loved every second of being bored to death.
Next is what, like, the music awards start to pop up, right?
Well, we already did the Grammys.
We already did. Yeah, but yeah. like.
American Music Awards?
No, American Music Awards? No, did we?
Well, didn't, is that wow. where Taylor Swift got the 10-year award?
Yeah, I think that was.
I don't know.
And we're done. Oh, thank God.
wait a second. What about the Razzies?
Well, you know what? I have not seen the list of Razzies.
I know the nominees.
They come out the day before, right?
Cats was a big Razzies nominee. All and right. what else?
We got to do some research. Oh. We got to take a break because Rob McElhenney's on in 5 minutes. What?
The Anatomy Awards.
The Anatomy. Doc. Mr. Skin.
What the hell's going on?
What's
going on?
We're going to get to the
bottom of this. We're going to take a break, get to the bottom of this. When we return, our friend Rob McElhenney will be on the program, and we also have some cash that we're going to give away with the Watch, Listen, and Win with Dr. Oz and a few other things, too. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a little bit.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We are awaiting a call from our friend, Mr. Rob McElhenney. Marissa was in touch with him. He'll be popping on in a little bit. Just a reminder that we're looking for anybody who's interested in having the first kiss ever and doing it on the Preston and Steve Show. I'm talking about an adult who, for one reason or another, life has let it get past them. They've never gotten around and never kissed anybody. We can make that happen, and we'll do it. And Steven Singer said he'd offer up a gold rose.
Too. Nice.
You know, we'd like to see if maybe just that one little obstacle is keeping you from going down the path to maybe finding that person in your life.
We want to take a sweet moment for you and exploit it.
Of course.
If we could do that our own benefit.
We've been doing it for decades.
But we're being honest about that.
Yep.
And we can make something magical that you'll remember forever. And that will just be a passing few minutes for us.
So if you can email Marissa with your information, maybe you'll end up in the studio on Friday. Marissa at WMMR.com, by the way. All right. He's standing by. He's ready to go. A new show called Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet, has premiered on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it to premiere this Friday? You guys have already been watching.
Yes. Yeah. It's all available now. Yep.
Every bit of it?
The whole season.
All of it.
Love it. Excellent. Please welcome Mr. Rob McElhenney to the program. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
We're good, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm so happy. So happy.
So happy?
Yes.
Just with the new show and everything, or just in general?
Yeah. We got a very warm and welcome reception. It seems like people are really digging the show. That feels good.
Well, as well they should. And as a gamer, and I had no idea what a gaming fan you were, everything is pitch perfect because I, you know, I'm on sites like IGN and all these nerdy game sites. And it's really cool. I could see though where you might be worried because you come out of the gate and it is this too, hyper focused in the audience. But it plays whether you know gaming or not, because the ensemble is so damn good. How long did it take you to get everybody together the way you wanted them, Rob?
Yeah, that was really the most important part. We bifurcated, like right from the very beginning, we bifurcated the writer's room. So half the room were hardcore gamers, either people who play games many hours a day or actually worked in a game development studio at one point in their lives. And the other half have never played a video game in their lives.
That's perfect.
And that was important to us because I wanted to make sure. And I honestly, I kind of feel – or I felt that I landed like right in the middle of those two parties, because you know I grew up playing games and I love playing games, but it's not something that I wouldn't consider myself a gamer, and I wanted to make sure that anybody who was watching the show could just drop right in.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I know what you're talking about, because there are points in both Preston and I've had them where you start playing a game and then the sun's rising and then you're like, dear God. But those times tend to go away as you, I don't know, do things like pay your bills and talk to your wife and life get, you know, diminishes that. But as far as this realm of video games and at this level, and you make the point in the show, in the opening episode, just how lucrative this is and how much money we're talking about. So, and you went, I guess you had been at, is it Ubisoft or Ubisoft? I always mispronounce it.
But they say the same thing.
Okay.
They pronounce it both ways, Ubisoft and Ubisoft, because it's a French company.
Okay, so it's a great video game company, and they're terrific. Some of my favorite titles. You were there, I guess, on a visit, and this is when you got the notion to do the show, correct?
Well, they approached us. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they came to me and said, "Hey, we're big fans of Sonny. We're interested in doing a game in this industry. Are you interested?" And I said, "No, thank you. I have a job. I'm good." And they said, "Hey, will you come up to Montreal and meet some of the people, walk around in the studio and meet some of the devs?" And that's what I did. I figured it was a free trip to Montreal, and I'd never been to Montreal, and I just scheduled it to be a couple of days so I could go out drinking and have a good time, and wound up spending two full days there. And I think within the first 10 minutes, I knew that we had a show.
Wow. That's cool.
Just because of the oddball characters, or what brought it?
Well, I walked in, and one of the first people I saw is kind of, the character that I created of the lead creative director, sort of an amalgam of a bunch of different guys. But one of the first people I met, he was bedazzled. He was all in black. He had these cowboy boots on. He was covered in rings. He had this like long glorious man bun, or long glorious hair that he put up into a man bun, and he had a cane, right? And he was walking with a cane, but I swear he was like 35 years old. And I'm like, why is he walking with a cane? There was no discernible limb. And I realized it was just like an accoutrement.
Okay. He was a prop,
a pompous little thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he comes walking towards me, and I say, "Hey, man, how's it going?" He's like, "Good, good." I said, "What do you do?" He said, I'm a creative director." I had no idea what a creative director was. And I said, "Oh, what does a creative director do?" And he sort of looked off into the distance, and then he looked back, and he said, "Brother, I build worlds."
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Creative Director, can you excuse me for 1 second? And I went outside and I called Charlie, and I was like, "Buddy, we got to do a show about this."
Oh, excellent.
Well, it's the ultimate sort of meeting of so you have people who are code writers, and you have people who've just, you know, always been at the computer, blending with people who create worlds and blending with people who have to monetize these things and blending with the story writers and people who normally would not have to in the real world, probably not synchronize for any other reason. But in the gaming world, they're all necessary components. And that's
absolutely right. And look, for as much as I make fun of some of the creative directors, the truth of the matter is, they really are, I mean, you can't say it out loud, but they truly are building worlds.
Yeah.
And they're building worlds that millions, if not billions, of people across the globe are jumping into from a virtual reality perspective and spending hours and hours and hours not only playing but communing with other people from all over the world. I mean, it really is an incredible job. And one of the points that's made very early on is that, by the way, this is a true stat. And I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but it'll blow you away. You're happy to look it up. You're welcome to look it up. So Grand Theft Auto, everybody knows Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah.
They've at least heard of it. Okay. So Grand Theft Auto, as a franchise, has made more money than Star Wars.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
More money than Star Wars. That's including all the merchandising.
That's unbelievable.
Grand Theft Auto as a series has made more money than Pixar, the entire studio, sold to Disney.
Wow. I think, Rob, there was a stat, and we reported on it because, you know, we are gamers, most of us. I think it was one of the Halos, or perhaps one of the Call of Duties, was the most purchased form of entertainment in one day in the history of the world. That level. So that's why this whole process, and again with the show, you're working on, what is it, like a massive multiplayer online game, which is, you know, speaks like World of Warcraft or things of that nature. And so anyone, even if you dabble, or if you have a kid who dabbles, you can definitely tie into it. I wanted, Nick, I know you have a question, so you go first, I'll follow.
Well, I'm not a gamer, and I still love the show. And so to me, it just shows that it doesn't matter if you're a gamer or not. Because for me, Rob, and Steve mentioned it earlier, but the supporting cast is phenomenal. F. Murray Abraham and Danny Pudi. But I love this actress that you have. Her name is Jessie Ennis on the show, and she's been in a TV show called Love. She was in Better Call Saul. How did you find her? Did you know her beforehand?
No. In fact, that character did not exist in the original script that Charlie, Meg, and I wrote. Jessie came in and read for like four different characters because we knew as soon as she walked in, we knew she was funny. But she just, it wasn't quite right for any of the characters. And so we sat down and we're like, well, we have enough experience to know that just because you wrote something doesn't mean that it's going to work. And you got to, when you find somebody super talented, you better make it work. So we literally just created that character after we met her. It was written for her, even though she came in and read for other characters. And we sort of did that with a number of different people. But yeah, she's a lunatic. I mean, she plays a like a psychotic individual. And in fact, in a lot of ways, her and Murray's character, CW, are the closest things that we have to Sonny characters on MythQuest.
So F. Murray Abraham, how cool is it to have him as he's the writer of the stories. He is
pompous.
He's pompous. He's actually living, though refuses to admit, he's living in the offices there. You're with freaking F. Murray Abraham. How fun is that to be with this guy?
Yeah, so the character of CW. So I spent a lot of time hanging out with George R. R. Martin over the years, just because of friends with Dave and Dan from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And so, as many of you know, George wrote the Game of Thrones series, and he's just a very sweet guy. So this isn't really based on George, but we were thinking, like Charlie and I were joking, what would have happened to George or Ray Bradbury or someone of that ilk. Had they have come out in the 60s or 70s, written like a smash hit, something that was critically and commercially accepted, beloved in the science fiction milieu, and then won a bunch of awards, and then he promptly just blew everything up his nose and drank himself.
Yeah.
Right.
To the point where he doesn't even remember whole decades.
Okay.
But he lived through it, like Keith Richards, right? And so what would happen if he had all this like talent, but now he just ruined his shot? And where would he be working now? Well, we realized like because of the size and scale of the video game industry, from a science fiction perspective, what if he was working in this industry? And yet he really is a stranger in a strange land because he doesn't understand gaming. What he knows is story. And some of these games, the stories themselves are just so unbelievably engaging and articulate that this would be something he'd be into.
Now I haven't seen, I don't have the format yet, the Apple TV Plus. I'm going to get it and I'm going to watch this. But does his character hate the fact that he's in that position right now?
No. Well, okay. He certainly doesn't turn his nose down to it. He recognizes the thing that drives him insane is when. We have other characters like monetization experts, and his job, as played by Danny Pudi, his job is just to make money. That's all he cares about. They're in a constant fight because from CW's perspective, Murray's perspective, it's all about the story. Everything is the story. It's the most important part. And to the monetizations, Danny's character, from his point of view, it's just about the money. And so you have a lot of these disparate characters and personalities that all go into making these video games. And the truth is that everybody is important and everybody is at the top of their game. And everybody is egomaniac to a certain degree. And so they're constantly at war with each other.
one of the things the show does really well is it points up the importance of influencers with the video game world. And you have a character named Pootie Shoe, who is this this little kid who's clearly paying his parents' mortgage. And he's online with his gamer chair. And he's, success of Mythic Quest will live and die by his thumbs up or thumbs down. But the kid is great. Who's the kid playing Pootie Shoe?
Yes. So his name is Elisha Henning. And we were, first of all, that's based in reality. I mean, we didn't make that up.
No, I know. There's a whole bunch of guys like that.
Yeah. So you have this like massive, massive industry. I mean, truly an industry that dwarfs the traditional entertainment industry by billions of dollars each year. And it's all resting on the shoulders of these YouTube influencers. And we all like to think, we all like to pat ourselves in the back and talk about how big our industry is. You know, ooh, look, 5 million people watched Sunny last year. This movie made $100 million this year. And meanwhile, these YouTube influencers truly have 25, 35 million views a week.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I like how you lampoon him because, his like contemporary is a guy named, I think it's a Laugh Out Loud, and how important these guys really think they are. And Sorry.
Absolutely. And it's such an important gig, and they really have to cater to and oftentimes pander to 14-year-olds. And when you have a couple of $1 billion resting on those shoulders, you better believe that they will cater to them.
Rob, I made it up past episode Dark Quiet Death, and I was talking to a friend of mine. Her name's Alyssa, who is friends with your sister, Katie. And what was weird, at the end of the episode, I thought that the writing credit said Caitlin McElhenney, and I thought that was weird because I thought your wife's last name is Olson, and professionally it was. And then I realized after talking to Alyssa last night that your sister wrote that episode, and I thought that was a beautiful. I know this is a funny show, but I thought that was a beautiful episode.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, look, I've been begging my sister to come on to our writing staff on Sunny for a decade. She's without a doubt the funniest member of our family. And she's just like has been blowing me off forever and just has no interest in TV, doesn't even like TV that much.
Oh, there you go.
And so finally I was like, okay, we got a new show. Maybe you can come in and help us out with it. And she said, I don't know. She's like, I don't work well with others. And you're in a writer's room and I don't know if it's going to work. And she came in and she just had an absolute blast. So, for me, it was like, first of all, having a family affair, as you guys know, has always been important to me. My brother Patrick has worked on and worked with me for years. And so now this was just an opportunity to extend that. And people are like, oh, isn't it nice that you gave your little sister a job? I'm like, brother, you have no idea how badly I have been begging her, how much I've been begging her to come work with us, because she has been so additive to the process in so many ways. So not only did she write that episode, but, you know, the way the writer's room works is that you're there all day, every day. So
right.
She has a hand in breaking half the season last year. And then on top of that, she's in our writer's room on Sunny now, so I got my hooks in her.
Well, from the way the show is playing so far, being a couple of episodes into it, you do get that entertainment, you do get the ensemble, as I said before. But as a gamer, I do enjoy the peek behind the curtain. And, like, for example, I never knew there was a technical term for it. What is it? It's TTP, time to penis, correct?
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is? Because I've always known of the existence. I never knew it had an actual classification.
Yeah, so lest you think we're getting too highbrow with this show, we have a lot of Sunny influence in there as well. Obviously, it's myself, Charlie is one of the co-creators, David Hornsby, who plays Cricket, he's an EP, and Megan Gantz, who's one of our showrunners on Sunny. So we still have a lot of Sunny-esque humor in there. So one of the things that we were told by the gaming studio, Ubisoft, that there is a real thing called TTP. And we were like, what is TTP? They say time to penis. We're like, that sounds right up our alley. Explain that to us, please. And they said, it's when you put a new item into a game, whether it be some sort of world building mechanic, meaning like something you can build or something you can dig with. In this case, it's a shovel. Whether it's like snow prints or something like that. how long it takes for the gaming audience to build and make penises. And we're like, that is the most juvenile, dumbest thing we have ever heard. And they're like, no, it's a real thing. It's a real problem. Like, we have to go, and they like monitor it. How long does it take? And I think in Red Dead Redemption 2 last year, which was one of the biggest games of 2 years ago,
yeah,
one of the biggest games in the world, they had this world-building mechanic where you could go out with your horse and you could ride through the snow into the plains, and it was just like supposed to be fun. Well, what people were doing were just going out to the snow and riding around in the shape of penises. And they said, what was the TTP? 4 minutes.
Four minutes?
Four minutes from the time the game was released to the time they went to YouTube and found these. I can't believe I'm moving.
That's awesome.
Hell, I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I'm now in my 40s, all right? Yeah. And yet I still, and by the way, so are you. So are you all.
Yeah,
all
at least.
I'm older, yeah. Well, it's still funny.
So, Rob, I wanted to ask you, because I saw you on Colbert last week, which was really cool, and it was the first time I think you had ever done late night TV with just you. It didn't have anybody else from Sunny on with you promoting Mythic Quest. You've been doing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia for 14 years, right? 14 seasons?
Correct.
And as a result, we've known you for a long time, which is really cool for us. But it seemed to me like Stephen Colbert and maybe the audience, the watching audience, the viewing audience, was people are still getting to know you. Do you think that that's the case?
Well, you know, I've never done any of those talk shows, I managed to avoid them for a long time. And look, the truth of the matter is that in the beginning, like, I really have a chip on my shoulder that it's taking me a while to knock it off. But maybe this is just a Philly in me. When in the beginning, when we were first coming out, we desperately needed to spread the word, right? And you guys were there from the very beginning, as I recall. And I remember having you guys having me on. I mean, I think after we released the first seven episodes, or at least even the first episode.
Yeah.
And I remember desperately trying to get on to Letterman and Leno. That's, or maybe it was Jack Parr. It was like
all the way back to Jack Parr.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we would like desperately try to get on these shows, and they were like, no, we don't know who these people are. We don't know who these people are. And then years went by, and all of a sudden, Sunny starts to hit in, you know, season six, season seven, and then we started getting the calls. Hey, we'd love to have everybody on. And we realized, well, now, you know, as the talk shows were starting to decline and we were becoming more successful, now they wanted us on. And it always felt like, wait, so you weren't going to help support us when we needed you.
Right.
Now you need us, but our presence on your show helps you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, everybody else was like, who cares? And I just harbored this resentment.
I can
for
see
so
that.
Long.
That's definitely a Philly thing.
But I also understand, and the truth of the matter is that's the way show business has always worked, you know, and you well know that. But I can see, you have something you believe in, and I think you held the chip just about the right amount of time.
Look, the truth of the matter is beyond that, they're nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because you know you have millions and millions and millions of people watching you, and it's not like you're on on Sunny. I'm in the editing room, so I can change and fix, and I get 15 takes. But you know, you're in front of a live audience. I don't really do a lot of live audience work, and then you know it's blasting out. You know, you have family members watching and friends watching and things like that, so you get very nervous. So my feeling was like, maybe I just pulled off on it. And finally, I decided to go back.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have Philadelphia Pride. It shows in everything you do. Super Bowl, Eagles, the name of your other show. I don't know if you still have, like, high school pride in St. Joe's Prep. And if you do, did you guys do Night of Scenes when you were at school? Because they just did that this past weekend. My nephew was a part of it. And I wasn't sure if that was something that you did when you were in school there.
No, I didn't. Well, first of all, I do have a tremendous amount of pride in my high school. I talk about it quite a bit as being a seminal experience in my formative years, and I love my school. But no, I started doing plays in high school, and really it was like the springboard to a career because I was such a terrible athlete, like awful, and I tried everything, and I would just get my ass kicked like all the time. in every single sport. And then I still didn't really necessarily have any interest in theater, except when we got a call one day over the loudspeaker that Notre Dame, which was one of our sister schools, needed boys for their plays. And I thought, huh. So wait a second. I get to leave school early.
Yeah.
I get to go to Notre Dame and be the only boy in the school. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Yes. Dip my toe in the water. Really what got,
yeah, that's really what got me into it. And then I was like, well, I don't care about this play, but I just get to be, I just get to meet girls. And then Murray and Mercy needed needed boys, and Gwen and Mercy needed boys. And next thing I know, I'm doing play after play after play after play, because it turned out that I really had a ton of fun. But that was, so I would do a play at the prep. That's all boys. I didn't care.
And here you, here, and look where you are right now. I wanted to ask you about working with Apple and the other shows that, you know, they have M. Night Shyamalan's Servant and a morning show and the other projects, and everyone who's working with them say they're just phenomenal. Basically, you know, turnkey, here's the money, have at it. Has that been your experience?
Yes, it has. I mean, truly, and this is not just me pandering or being a company man. They have let us do exactly what we wanted to do. I mean, the show you're seeing, much like FX, you know, from the very beginning, they said, hey, look, they're putting millions of dollars into this thing, so they're going to have opinions.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove, they always let us do what we want to do. And
that's got
to
be cool.
To say that there hasn't been you know, some rocky, I mean, they're essentially a startup, which is really funny. They're a $1 trillion startup.
Yeah.
because this is something new that they're doing, right? So to launch not only all these shows, but then an entire streaming platform is always going to come with this, with some bumps in the road. But I think they've really done an amazing job. Amazing job.
I had no idea what a decent singer and guitar player you were, and then Instagram showed me that over the last couple of months. Is that something new that you've brought to your repertoire, and we're going to be able to see more of that? Seriously, it's hilarious stuff.
I've gotten a better response on the video that I made with my wife and put up on Instagram.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
In like 4 minutes, like I literally, we didn't even think about it. We were like, oh, this would be funny. Let's just do this real quick. Put that up there. I think that has like, I don't know, 700,000 views or something. And I've gotten more of a response on that than any show I've ever made. Yeah, I don't know. I've been playing guitar poorly for a while. My problem was I learned how to play when I had an old roommate who was right-handed. So all the guitars he had were right-handed, and I'm left-handed.
Oh, no.
And so I had to learn how to play right-handed, and I think that's probably why I'm so bad. But I'm good enough to play the Friends theme song. So.
Oh, my God. So you can play the guitar on the wrong hand better than I can play on my right hand is what you're telling me.
I suppose so. I mean, I guess that's what this entire interview has been about, just making you feel humiliated.
Inferior. Well, yeah, I always feel inadequate when I talk to you. Hey, listen, we also, Rob, you and I, we both have Bernedoodles. So I have a Bernedoodle named Reggie. Dude, he's the best. And clearly, I have two dogs, and he's my favorite. And I have no problem saying that because the other one has no idea. But I wanted to know if your Bernedoodle is as dumb and clunky as mine is. He's just such an oaf. He has no idea how big he is.
I'll tell you what, he's definitely clunky, but he is smart. Like,
yeah.
I look into his – okay, so the other dog – I'm looking at him right now, so they know I'm talking about him. The other dog is a French bulldog, right? And this one is a moron. And I love this dog. But you look into his eyes and you see – you stare into the
abyss.
Oh, into the abyss of ignorance. He is just – I mean, happy, real happy, but I mean just an idiot. And I look into Simon's eyes, the Bernedoodle, and I see a human being. I think there's a human being behind those eyes. They look like – he looks cognizant, like he knows he's looking back into my soul and wondering if I'm as smart as he is.
Well, from what we understand, he also has a deal with Apple Plus.
So, yeah.
Let me tell you something. He is the workingest dog in Hollywood. We got a call one time from his trainer saying, hey, would you mind if I put him up to a for a commercial? And we were like, oh, sure, whatever. Next thing you know, he's working more than Caitlin. commercial. He did a commercial for Allstate Insurance. I mean, he's working nuts.
Wow. Well, I mean, if I may, how is that fairly lucrative?
Honestly, we donate all the money. So basically, we give 50% to the trainer, and then 50% to the ASPCA. So we never actually see that money, but
it's very nice.
But yeah, we're happy to get him out of the house for a week, and then he also comes back so incredibly well trained for another 6 months. Man,
I am so jealous because your Bernedoodle is tricolored, mine's only bicolored.
That's one more thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm so inadequate, yeah. Man.
You're actually now. It's embarrassing when you start to look for ways to be inadequate. Just let them come nonchalantly. It's a little more. I wanted to ask you, Rob, just quickly, because of the sort of cutscenes that you use in and out of the scenes in Mythic Quest. Is Ubisoft providing those as well? Because they look very Assassin's Creed-ish. They look really well rendered. Are they doing that?
Yeah, yes. So we wanted to make sure right from the very beginning that it was clear when we did come back to them and say, okay, we were interested in making a game, that we weren't going to do a commercial for Ubisoft. That was important to us, right? Like, and we also wanted to present the industry in all its glory, but then in we wanted to present some of the negative aspects too. So that is something we jump into, which is like gender disparity and the toxicity of some of the environment.
And Nazis being a fan of your game.
absolutely. Something we struggle with Sonny as well. Using it as memes and such. But Ubisoft was 100% in favor of that. And one of those things was making sure that we weren't just using Ubisoft games. And they were down. They were down right from the very beginning.
That's
the
cool.
Issue was because we were a new show and nobody had seen it or heard of it, a lot of studios were reticent at first to allow us to use some of their games because they just wanted to make sure. I mean, look, the truth of the matter is over the last 15, 20 years, anything you've seen in popular culture has presented the industry in a pretty negative light, specifically gamers themselves. And we just did not want to do that. We wanted to make something that celebrated the industry. But they didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right? So they were a little nervous. So we had a couple of games that a couple of studios, Rockstar, Ubisoft, and a couple of games like Red Dead and then Assassin's Creed and then some other games outside of the Ubisoft oeuvre that allowed us to use their stuff. And I'm hoping now that it's out and people can see it, we'll get a lot more of that next year.
Excellent. Rob, I want to mention this before we wrap. The Cora for Kids Golf Classic is coming up this year. It's going to be at Philadelphia Cricket Club. And that registration is available now. We've got the information up. So excited to do that. And any idea if you'll be in for that event or not at this point?
I'm gonna have to make it happen this year in some way. I mean, I've heard, first of all, I was so bummed I couldn't make it last year, and I heard it was incredible. I mean, that golf course is legit.
So it's the real deal.
I was hosting it, and man, that is freaking beautiful. Yep. However, I did drive up the wrong street and believe I was on a golf cart. but I'm like, oh my god, this looks like Hogsworth.
Once you found your way,
I took out a few players.
Yeah, and it's a Monday this year once again.
Oh, I didn't play. No, I'm a horrible player, but I hosted like a mofo.
Oh, good. And it sounds like you got into the booze a little bit, which is fine.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got that information up. And, leading up to that, I'm sure we'll get in touch with you once again and find out what your status is of stopping in for that event.
Yes, please. Well, look, I really appreciate all the support over the years, specifically this year. You guys are always the best, and thank you so much. It feels awesome to be, you know, a part of the number one show in the city of my birth, and it's really important to me that you guys continue to support me, and I'll continue to support you. Thank
you. Our pleasure, and congratulations on a hit.
Yeah, man, way to go! Let's hear it for him, Rob. Good to talk to you, man. Talk to you soon. Mythic Quest, it is out as we speak on Apple TV Plus. We'll talk to you soon, brother. All right.
That's good. Thank you.
All right, take care. And that's phenomenal, man. So he is saying that he's going to be at that golf classic. If you want to get the information, it's available at WMMR.com. Click on events, I guess, Nick, or
if not, just email it to me and I'll get it to you. But it's choraservices.org. And thanks to Helene. She puts on a great show every year. And it's Steve, you were a part of it. I mean, we've done it for years, but it'd be so cool if Rob's able to make it out this year.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Something I'd like to do right now before we wrap, I want to ask you a question about Dr. Oz. $500 to give away. So here we go. Last Friday's show, Dr. Oz welcomed celebrity superfan Tia Mowry, who co-hosted the show with him. And I'm going to give you a multiple choice. And we'll start with caller number 10, okay? What guilt-free dessert did she make that even Dr. Oz approved of? Was it A, Berry Good Fruit Tart, B, Nutty and Nice Fudge Bar, or C, a microwave mug cake.
And just remember it's for $500.
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR. We'll take the 10th caller, start there, and see if we can get a correct answer. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back in a second. Bizarre file stories on the way as well. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Pacifico Beer. Friday, March 6th at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. The sled deemed best design scores a $2,000 cash prize. The best Live Live Anchors Up theme scores $500 and beer for a year from Pacifico. Sprint has $500 for the fastest sled. There's $300 for the coolest Jose Cuervo themed sled. And somewhat of a gag gift for Preston and Steve's favorite fail. Mandatory sled registration through March 1st at WMMR.com. For the MMR VIP lift ticket presale, the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Through February 23rd, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain.
Sponsored by Chorus Photography and Sprint. Brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Cold. KGL been on MMR, and it is going to be cold by the time we get to Friday. Like, the high's going to barely get up into the 30s. But we'll have sunshine, you know. In the meantime, we've just got clouds.
You seem to have hard
it's just
about
the stuff. I mean, it's, yeah, it's the way it's always been this entire season. It's the moment the sun comes out, it gets freezing cold. And then otherwise, you've got this gray stuff and warm temperatures. But whatever, man.
I'm glad they sealed up the plastic so we can't see.
In fact,
they sealed it up more than it's ever been sealed.
I know. It was like
we don't even have a hole to look out.
I got a little light in there, and then they came in and sealed it.
Yeah, we can't see out our window. Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic. So what's going on, Kat?
We've got ramp restrictions on 95 northbound, the on-ramp to 95 north. Right at the Walt Whitman Bridge, a disabled tractor trailer in the left lane. South on 95, heavy bridge through to Girard. Once you get to the Vine, westbound slowing Broad to the Schuylkill, eastbound for the Ben Franklin Parkway to Broad Street. Blue Route in both directions slowing media to Route 1. Schuylkill Expressway eastbound backing up from the Blue Route into Belmont. It's heavy the Boulevard into Spring Garden. Westbound side slowing Vera Avenue to South Street. Jam City to Belmont. Slow again the Blue Route out to King of Prussia. 55 northbound heavy Deptford to the 42 freeway. This traffic report brought to you by Whole Foods Market of Valentine. For Prime members, get a double dozen bunch of roses at Whole Foods Market for only $19.99, February 7th through February 14th, while supplies last. Find more deals on the Whole Foods Market app. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to pause the bizarre file. Thank you, because I forgot to go to these callers and get our winner for the Dr. Oz prize.
Oh, what so, the?
I know. We got to do that. We're looking for the 10th caller, and we need the answer to this question. On last Friday's show, Dr. Oz welcome celebrity superfan Tia Mowry, who co-hosted the show with him. What guilt-free dessert did she make that even Dr. Oz approved of? 10th caller is Dan. I'm going to ask him for the answer. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, Dan, do me a favor. Tell me what that guilt-free dessert was that he approved of.
Was it the lemon mug cake?
Yeah, the microwave mug cake.
Of course she approves of lemon mug cake.
Dan, nice work. And we are going to give you a $500 Amex gift card. All right, brother?
That's great. Did I also win tickets to Hershey Park?
Yeah. Whatever you want, Dan.
We want
actually,
those
it's the auto show prize package. Hang on. We're going to get your information, and we're going to set you up. And don't forget that we're going to do this again tomorrow. You get a daily dose of Dr. Oz. Each day, Dr. Oz offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, celebrity interviews. And you can watch the show weekdays at 2 on Fox 29. So tomorrow, which we'll be asking a question about today's show. Today, Joey Buttafuoco exclusive.
All right.
Life after infamy and the childhood drug abuse that still haunts him. So Joey on Dr. Oz.
Joey Buttafuoco.
There you
go. Can't wait for that one.
Exactly. So we'll have a question about that tomorrow. All right, back to the bizarre file.
What the hell happened?
Do I have a sponsor?
No.
All right, let me get right into this story. A Florida teacher is facing felony drug charges after police say she tried to buy methamphetamine while she was teaching.
Hey, does anyone have any meth?
Valerie Lee Prince, a first grade teacher at Jacksonville Heights Elementary School, was in contact with an undercover officer. An audio recording revealed a woman talking to an officer about buying an $85 eight ball or an eighth of an ounce of methamphetamine.
The kids are being a real drag today.
The woman identified as Prince is heard telling the undercover officer he can come to the school. He can be there before kids arrive at 8:30 a.m. or during her lunch break at 11 a.m. According to the officer, it was a pretty nonchalant request, and the indication was that it was no big deal to the suspect.
I'm reading Charlotte's Web to them today, and I really want to put a lot into the performance.
The teacher intended to leave the classroom of first graders to buy the narcotics, use some, and save the rest for her boyfriend.
No, that's very nice.
She was charged with possession of methamphetamine.
That's a good teacher.
Jesus. A seafood salesman has been found guilty of smuggling more than near $100 million worth of endangered live eels out of the UK.
Wow. Yeah. $100 million?
Gilbert Koo transported the rare elvers from London to Hong Kong, hidden underneath other fish between 2015 and 2017. He was caught after Border Force authorities found 200 kilograms of the European glass eels, which are critically endangered at Heathrow Airport in the first seizure of its kind in the UK. Koo, who was found guilty of three counts of failure to notify movement of animals and three counts of evasion of the export of goods, is being held. He kept the live eels imported from countries within the EU in a barn in Gloucestershire. Before repackaging them to be exported to Asia. Eels fetch more than 10 times the price they would in the UK on the East Asian black market, where they are considered a delicacy and are in high demand, apparently.
That's an insane amount of money.
Yeah, it says nearly $100 million worth of eels. That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. A high school student was seriously burned in the middle of school. She says a classmate set her pants on fire for no reason. And now that other student, 18-year-old Andre Allen, is facing serious charges.
The old set the pants on fire gag.
Yeah, the victim was inside Perry Traditional Academy in Pittsburgh when the unprovoked attack happened. She was treated for second-degree burns to her knee.
Jeez.
Allen had a lighter and was walking down the hallway. The other student was actually talking to the assistant principal when police said Allen bent down and lit her pants on fire.
She's talking to the assistant principal at the time?
Yeah. The principal helped the victim actually put the fire out, but the damage had been done. School police said Allen it lit the student's frayed jeans on her right knee.
We used to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was treated for second-degree burns. Actually, it caught really, really quick, Nick.
Wow.
And investigators say the incident was caught on the school security cameras. Police have entered that as evidence in the case. Allen is facing aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, and arson charges.
Did anyone ever go up in your case?
No, but I forget why we did it. Like, would it just burn quickly and then go out? Or
there was probably it.
The phrase do, yeah.
No one wants to cause knee damage.
No, but there was some quick thrill that would come as a result. And so, we did that.
Like a boner?
Not a boner, per se. Well, it was high school, so...
Yeah. You probably got wood for
that.
Just got a match boner.
Man, I got another boner.
Got a flame boner.
I got a flame boner.
So this guy's facing arson charges.
For setting someone's
knee. I got a boner.
He's on fire. That's just a crazy world we live in with those kids, Preston.
The natural world never fails to surprise us either. And there's an encounter between an orangutan and a man in Borneo that has melted hearts all over the world. Amateur photographer Anil Prabhakar captured the fleeting moment in which one of the Indonesian island's critically endangered apes stretched out its hand to help a man out of snake-infested water.
I'm just an orangutan, but I know you need help.
Prabhakar,
and I extend my hand to do so.
Was on a safari with friends at a conservation forest run by the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation. When he witnessed the scene, it's pretty wild. The picture, it looks like this ape is saying,
helping.
Come here, I'm going to help you out. There was report of snakes in that area, so the warden came
go
over.
Ahead, take my hand, roast beef.
And
Brodozer.
And he was.
I saw you struggling in that snake pit, and I had to help.
The warden was clearing snakes. The photographer said, "I saw an orangutan come very close to him and just offer him his hand."
Isn't that wild?
He said it was difficult for the guard to move in the muddy, flowing water. It seemed as if the orangutan was saying, "May I help you?" to the man. The photographer said, "I just grabbed that moment.
Give me your wallet."
It was really emotional. Venomous snakes are predators of Borneo's orangutans, which are under threat from forest fires, habitat loss, and hunting. The guard apparently then moved away from the ape and climbed out of the water. When Preybacher had asked why he moved away, he said, "They are completely wild. We don't know how they'll react." He said the entire encounter lasted just 3 or 4 minutes.
So the ape's trying to help out, and he blows him off?
Yeah.
Don't leave me hanging here, roast beef.
Yes.
Trying to help you.
But it's a pretty wild picture, yeah. Well, a man who police say was hiding out in the rafters of a grocery store and stealing merchandise for weeks has been arrested.
The Phantom of the Grocery Store.
Last month, police released surveillance video from the Hagen Northwest Fresh Market showing a man who would appear from the rafters of the store after hours and steal items like cigarettes.
I'm above the cereal aisle. That's where I live.
A tipster was able to identify the man.
The Phantom of the Supermarket's here inside your ceiling.
Police served a search warrant at his home.
There was a spill, you see, on aisle 3.
Where he was arrested. Police no longer believe he was living in the ceiling of the Hagen Market. Police looked.
Let's round up carts.
Police
looked. Every brought over there by the Pop-Tarts. It's life inside the store.
Police looked in.
Supermarket here above aisle 3.
That could still be an exciting show.
It would be amazing.
Police looked into his background and found that he has a history of construction and roofing, which would explain how he was able to access the ceiling and come and go as he pleased.
That's the Phantom of the Supermarket.
Yeah, the man was also found with $8,000 worth of goods from the store, including top shelf liquor, cigarettes, and expensive wheels of cheese.
The Phantom of the Supermarket.
Do not look at my face, but you have such wonderful cheeses. It is the only thing I have. You love me only for my cheeses. I love you for who you are. No, I say no. It's all about my cheese. My cheese is everything. Inconvenient wheels. You try to make me slip with banana peels.
He was stealing top shelf liquor, cigarettes, and expensive wheels of cheese.
One of the wheels of cheese was $400.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big show at the BB&T, Wheels of Cheese.
He also caused $13,000 worth of damage to the store. He's facing multiple charges of burglary and theft. And there you go. That's what I have in the store. Wasn't there a guy down the shore who put on a big Phantom of the Opera show at some restaurant? You remember somebody calling in? That was like his big thing.
He would come out in like a velvet.
Yeah,
like
wear the cape and
the
everything.
Whole thing and the mask. And it was like a restaurant, like 30 people sitting there. Yeah, yeah. Somebody had a show they sent to me, like an Elvis impersonator who took a break halfway through, and then a strong man would come out and bend like pans, and then Elvis would come back out. And it was
down the shore?
I think so. Oh, I think it's great. In the area. I love shows like that.
Wow. Well, speaking of the supermarket, Phantom of the Supermarket, I'm sure that's going to be a Daily Rush video sometime down the road, but we have a couple of new ones to tell you about. We have one called Preston's Pop and Imogene Poots. description, breaking news, pop. So you can watch that now, as well as the Terry Crews interview.
Yes, which is great.
Terry Crews gets down with Disturbed and gives us a positivity pep talk. I forgot he was singing the Disturbed song. You're a whore. you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. It's sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club Restaurant and Bar. We still have music news and trash and all that stuff to get to and a lesson question, so we'll take a break, come back, and get to that when we return. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Visit Train. Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Revivalist on 93.3 WMMR. It's all my friends. It's 21 minutes after 10 o'clock on the President's Steve Show. We have wrapped our traffic for the day, so we're done with that, which means we can move on to giveaways and see if we can get ourselves a prize winner. For the lesson question today, we're giving away a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show, which is Friday through Sunday at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. And let me see, what can we ask you about? All right, if I ever got FU money, I'd buy a big boat and Steve would buy a 315-foot what? 215-263-WMMR, okay? So if I ever got FU money, I would buy a big boat, like a yacht, but Steve would get a 315-foot what? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Do you? You should call, and let's see if we can get you a prize. We're going to do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what we got cooking this morning, Steve. What's going on?
Well, Amber Heard seen holding hands with her new girlfriend, Bianca Booty, while attending a pre-Oscar party on Friday night. Heard says Booty has been enjoying a trick she learned on Aquaman that involves yodeling into a clam.
Oh, my God.
Male model Presley Gerber adding to his tattoo collection by getting the word misunderstood under his right eye. Gerber says people think he's just some sort of dumb male model who would jeopardize his career by getting a word tattooed on his face.
Oh, my God.
And finally, all this year's acting and directing Oscar nominees, this is true, received gift bags worth almost $250,000 each. Included in each bag was 6,000 Yeti mugs, 909,000 golf tees, and a pen. And that's your Hollywood track.
You know, you don't hear that much about the gift bags anymore.
No.
That used to be all the rage to talk about what came in those gift bags.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
You know what I didn't realize is that a while ago, that whole thing became a separate company unto itself.
I believe it.
So there's a company, because obviously you're putting these... basically the way, you know, you're talking about influencers and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So this company handles all this, but almost $250,000 each bag.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Lesson question. Let's see if we can get an answer to this. If I ever get FU money, I'll buy a big boat. Steve will get a 315-foot what? I'm going to go to Brian for the answer. Hey, Brian.
Yo, what's up?
Yo, man. All right. What will Steve buy that's 315 feet long?
Buy a canoe.
Yep, one moment. Hang on, Brian. We'll get your information and give you your prize, a four-pack of tickets, Philly Home and Garden Show, Friday through Sunday at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. For more information and discount tickets, you go to PhillyHomeAndGardenShow.com. It is time now for music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
By the way, a little factoid here for you. The longest canoe ever measured was 149 feet, 1 inches long.
Got that beat.
Was built by students and teachers at Nokomis Regional High School in Newport, Maine.
Was everything to scale, like the bench you just sit on, up five stories?
I'd have to see if we can find pictures of that. I have no idea.
It's in the Guinness record, though. All right.
Let's go to this story. Guitarist John Frusciante performed with two of his Red Hot Chili Peppers bandmates for the first time since his return to the band was announced during a memorial in Los Angeles on Saturday. It was for Andrew Burkle, an aspiring film producer and son of billionaire Ron Burkle. Frusciante performed with
Debbie Burkle and Philippe Burkle.
With Anthony Kiedis and Flea, while Jane's Addiction drummer Stephen Perkins stood in for the absent drummer Chad Smith.
Huh.
Chili Peppers members performed Iggy Pop's I Want to Be Your Dog and Gang of Four's Not Great Men, as well as their own Give It Away. The event, organized by the Tony Hawk Foundation, also included a performance by Jane's Addiction, which features, of course, Dave Navarro. At one point, Frusciante had also joined Jane's Addiction on stage for a rendition of Mountain Song, and it was Navarro who had replaced Frusciante and the Chili Peppers after the latter's first departure from the band in 1994. So they got a chance to play together for the first time in quite a long time. Pearl Jam shared a third video for the band's new single, Dance of the Clairvoyants, with the clip being billed as the band's first official music video in 7 years. Technically titled Dance of the Clairvoyants Mach 3, the new video follows a pair of earlier clips called Mach 1 and Mach 2. While those clips featured a heavy emphasis on nature, the new video features the band itself performing the song against a revolving backdrop of stars, mountains, lightning, and more.
Mach?
Yeah. Three?
Yeah. Song?
Yeah.
Pearl?
Yeah. Pearl.
Jam?
Dance of the Clairvoyants is the lead single off of Gigaton. Have that for a while.
I never not want to hear it.
A song called River Cross was also heard during a brief Super Bowl commercial last week, and the group's first LP since 2013's Lightning Bolt is due out on March 27th. And then one last story. Green Day has shared a music video for Meet Me on the Roof, a song from the band's just-released 13th LP, Father of All Mother Effers. The clip features Gaten Matarazzo from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
The album came out on Friday, and Green Day stopped by the Ellen Show that day to perform Oh Yeah and participate in a cooking demonstration along with Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart.
What a world.
It is a bizarre world.
So that Gaten, is it Gaten or?
I don't know.
Yeah, but Gaten. Yeah, so he just had another surgery. It's basically he loses the teeth and everything because the bone density is not all it should be in his body. So they reinforce it, and he went through another surgery that turned out very well. But it's amazing how well he's doing, considering he's got this condition.
Yeah, exactly. And then one last thing, actually. We have some tickets. This is for Megadeth and Lamb of God.
The show we've been waiting for.
BB&T Pavilion, June 18th at the Trivium and in Flames. With the Trivium. With Trivium and In Flames. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. We'll take caller number 20, and I will give you tickets to see Megadeth and Lamb of God. There will be a pre-sale on Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. The password to use is radio. You can call now to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them. So like I said, caller number 20, we will give you those tickets. Megadeth and Lamb of God, BB&T Pavilion, June 18th. With Tivium and In Flames. Tickets are on sale Friday with a pre-sale on Thursday.
With special guest, Tiffany.
All right, and there you go. Your music news. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Letter of the day, new word of the week prize. Tell you about it all when we get back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day. Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
MMR Rocks with some Tom Petty. You don't know how it feels. Preston and Steve show. 10:38. Yeah, Monday morning, but coming to a close here for us. That's one out of the way. A few more to go. I know we can already look towards the weekend. Why not? That's what work is all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Waiting for the weekend. So a thank you very much to one Mr. Rob Frickin' McElhenney. Yay! For calling us this morning. He's been very, very busy in promoting Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, which is now streaming on Apple TV Plus. I know that you guys have been watching it.
It's not an extension of It's Always Sunny. It's a different show.
Yeah.
But it's really, especially, listen, if you're a gamer, that's a perk, but you don't have to be. It's just a funny show.
Yeah. So, Rob chatted about a bunch of different things, and we'll be hopefully in town in June for the Cora Golf Outing, which you know we'll be hosting once again. And details on that available at PrestonSteve.com. You want to sign up, maybe hang out, because you never know. There have been years where he and Charlie and Danny and Caitlin and Glenn have all been there.
Is it possible he brings in some people from Mythic Quest?
You never know. It should be pretty
playing
cool.
Golf with F. Murray Abraham.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
With Salieri?
Yes.
Awesome. Steven Singer stopped by, too. It was great to see him.
His dog.
The Rose Gold Rose. Yep. He brought him his dog, Buddy, Buddy Love. And the Valentine's Day deadline is running out soon for free shipping. You got to get it by Wednesday, I believe
Wednesday,
he said.
Yeah.
So don't miss that opportunity. It was great to see him this morning. We need to do the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. So let's go ahead and do that now.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
R, as in radio.
Radio. Who needs a radio?
All right, so you now have the first letter. It is an R. And we have a $500 Steven Singer gift card that we're going to give away on Friday. And you can get one of Steven Singer's popular fully dipped classic gold roses for Valentine's Day starting at just $69. Only at IHateStevenSinger.com. One of the things I also want to do on our way out is give away some lift tickets for a Cardboard Classic coming up. Now, that's going to be on Friday, March 6th, and I will take, how many should I give away, Case?
You got three there.
Three?
Holy
All right.
mama!
10, 11, and 12. We'll take those callers, 215-263-WMMR. There is a flash sale that is going on now. $10 lift tickets, which are going to be available through Sunday, February 23rd.
Oh!
And the flash sale is happening, by the way, for the Cardboard Classic Winter Hat and long sleeve t-shirt on sale in the MMR Rock Shop through noon today. And that's it. So if you want to get the hat and the long sleeve t-shirt, the flash sale is happening through noon today at WMMR.com.
Awesome.
And
the stuff's really good. Yeah.
They look great. It's great material, and just makes the whole package come together for the Cardboard Classic. So grab that if you can. Let me see. I guess I can thank our sponsor and move along. So thank you very much to the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Bringing you the Preston and Steve Show. Call today and start training tomorrow. Call 888-FIX-JETS. And tomorrow on the program, we have the director and star of Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made, Tom McCarthy and Winslow, is it?
Fegley.
Cool.
Yes, so this movie is now on Disney Plus. I watched a lot of it over the weekend. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I saw it listed. Yeah. I'll have to check it out. I'll watch it tonight.
This little kid, Winslow, is so good. He really, really is. I think your kids will get a kick out of it, Press. I think you might like it, too.
Cool. Excellent. So we'll have that and more tomorrow morning. Don't forget to watch Dr. Oz because we'll have another $500 shot for you. And that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. Pierre's in next. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Could you bunch of dummies actually act like you've seen an accident on the side of the road? It's just a fender bender. Keep moving.
Next message.
Hey, good morning, baby. How are you? I hope you have a great day at school. I love you very much. See you when you get home.
Next message.
Today is my birthday. It's also my wife's birthday and my son's birthday. I'm not even important today.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.